जयं विश्वपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीमान् अभयशरणारविन्दभक्तिवेदान्तगोस्वामहराशील प्रौपादिकी जयं नितिलयाप्रविष्टविष्णुपादपरमहंसपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्रीमान् भक्तिसिद्धान्तसरस्यमहराशील प्रौपादिकी अनन्तकोटिवैष्णवबृन्दकी नामाचार्यशीलहरिदास्ठाकूर्की प्रेमसहो श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्दश्री अद्वैतगदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्दकी శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవిందనాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాం దియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ హంసాగ్రజాదం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాం చ నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ ప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తిసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీ నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానువి దేవీ దైదాయ కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాద్య శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధావ సిద్ధాంతద్వాందహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పదాంబుజాయదే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయదే. గౌరావిర్భవ భూమేస్త్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయదే నమః. కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పదితానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో మహావదాన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరత్వషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. జయదాం సురదౌ పంగోర్మమ మందమదీర్ఘది మత్సర్వసపదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ. దివ్యవృందారణ్య కల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమంద్రనాగర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీశ్రీరాధాశీల గోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వడతడస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోపిర్గోపినాథాశ్రియేస్తునా తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరే ప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే So, in this 12th chapter, Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is talking about the qualities of a devotee, what Krishna considers as bhakti or devotion. That's what you find in this chapter, in the 12th chapter. Krishna's recognition of a devotee and the qualifications of a devotee which Krishna expects or Krishna finds in a devotee. So, we have seen that the first verse was the verse number Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, verse 13. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nurmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sukhakshami. Then the next verse, we seen that Sandushta Satadam Yogi Yad Alma Drida Nishchaya May Arpida Manobuddhir Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha. We have also seen that verse. Then the next one was Yasmano dvijade logo, logano dvijade chaya, harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam, muktoya sachame priya. Krishna says these qualities are expected in a devotee. And the last verse we were discussing, that was the last verse we spoke about in the on last Saturday. Krishna is saying there that in a person, when there is harsham amarsham bhayam udvegam, that means when one gets excited in spiritual, in daily life due to happiness, harsham. When he gets very annoyed about something, angry about something, amarsham, fear, udvegam. Udvegam means anxiety. All these things are not symptoms of a devotee. These are not the symptoms of a devotee because these things happen due to ajnanam inside, ignorance inside. From avidya comes all these emotions. Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam. Krishna says there that Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam, Muktoya, Sachame Priya. One who is free from those things, Krishna says, that he is very dear to me. That's how Krishna says. That one who is free from these things is very dear to me. Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam. Harsha cha amarsha cha bhayam cha udvegam cha tai harsha amarsha bhayo udvage muktaha harsha priya labhai andakaranasi ulkarsham. What does harsha means? Priya labhai andakaranasi ulkarsham. That means when you receive something in this world, inside feeling happy. Oh, I got it. This is harsham. Harsha means that. Harsha priya labhai andakaranasi ulkarsho romanjam ashru padadi lingaha. Feeling very emotional and feeling extremely happy inside. Oh, I got it. I wanted it. Anything for that matter in this world. Because the worldly dealings, as far as Krishna is concerned, is all false. From there to get excited and emotional is a symptom of avidya inside, ajnanam inside. So whenever one feels happy due to excitement in this world, something has gone well for the way, or he got something, due to that, allowing the mind to move is not good thing for a devotee. It should not happen, Krishna is saying that. Harsham, that's why Harsham is explained here. Harsham amarsha bhayo udvagahi. Harsha means priya labhe andakaranasya ulkarsham romanjam ashrubadadi lingaha. All this is harsham. Harsha means that whenever you receive something, what you like, if you like something, you got it. At that time, feeling excited about it, and feeling all the hair standing up, or feeling great happiness in life, and or out of happiness sometimes tears come from people's eye, isn't it? They became so happy that the tears start coming. All this is symptom of harsham. Harsha means all that. Harsha means priya labhe అంధకరణస్య ఉల్కర్ష రోమాంజ అశ్రుబాధాదిలింగ. అశ్రుబాధాదిలింగ మీన్స్ టీయర్స్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది ఐస్. పీపుల్ టీయర్స్ కమ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ యూఆర్ ఇన్ డిస్ట్రెస్, సమ్ టైమ్స్ వెన్ యూఆర్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ ఆల్సో టీయర్స్ కెన్ కమ్. ఇసన్ ఇట్ యూ మే హ్యావ్ అబ్జర్వ్ దట్. సో బోత్ కేసెస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ హర్షం ఈస్ వెన్ యూ గెట్ వెరీ ఎమోషనల్ అండ్ టీయర్స్ స్టార్ట్స్ కమింగ్. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ డివోటీ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ సచ్ ఎమోషన్స్. Devotee should not have such emotions. Then, what else he says? Amarsham. Amarshaha. What is Amarshaha? Amarshaha means Asahishnuda bhayam. Tatrasa uddega uddiddadataihi muktoiha sachame priyaha. In other words, Amarsha means, he says here, when you have, Amarsham actually means both this, bhayam and uddegam. From bhayam, and Udvegam, Amarsham comes. Yeah? That's why it's linked like that. Harsham, Amarsham, Bhayam, Udvegam. Bhayam and Udvegam causes Amarsham. What does that mean? It means that some unusual fear inside the mind. What's going to happen tomorrow? What will happen to me? What will happen to this? What will happen to that? Sometimes people develop this fear inside and they get so frightened about life. Is it not? So many fears develop in the heart. And that is also a symptom of ajnanam or avidya inside. Ignorance in the person. Why? When we identify with the body, all these things comes. Is it not? When you identify with the body, fear comes. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abhedasa viparyayo smriti Bhagavadam. So from that fear, what comes is this amarsham. And that from fear, it anger develops. It can come into in a sort of angry way, it can manifest in a person. Bhayam. And then, Amarshaha Asahishnuda Bhayam Trasam Udvega Udvignadate Muktoya Sachame Priya. So, when you have Amarsham, if you notice in a person, you will also see there is fear inside, hiding behind it. Either there is fear or there is a concern about something. Udvegam. Udvegam. Concern about something. Krishna is saying, one who is free from that, These emotions is dear to me. This is what's expected from a devotee. Devotee should not get moved by all what's going on in this world. It should not bother him. No, devotee, when Krishna is saying like that, it also refers to any spiritually advanced person. The qualities are same for jnani also. It's not different. That worldly issues, worldly matters should not touch inside. It should not go and disturb the inside peace, in other words. The inside peace should not be disturbed by the activities of this world. So that is why Krishna says there, all these, if you, there's only two or three verses more, with that this chapter is over. And you can see from Adveshta Sarvabhudanam to the last verse, which is, or verse 19, there finishes what the devotee's qualities are. Krishna is saying like that. So then we talked, that is the bhayam udvegam. All these are symptoms of ignorance, and ignorance means you have to also take it in this way, there is pride inside, false ego. And false ego gets hurt, and then you feel all these emotions when the false ego gets hurt. So, once all this has gone away from inside, then inside is peaceful. Inside is peaceful. Krishna says, such a person is very dear to me. Then we have seen the next verse. Anapeshasujirdaksham Udasino gadavyathaham Sarvarambhaparityagi Yomadbhaktasame priyaham Anapekshasujirdaksham Udasino gadavyathaham Sarvarambhaparityagi Yomadbhaktasame priyaham. What does that mean? Anapekshaha Sujirdaksha Udasinaha gadavyathaha Sarvarambha Parityagi Yo Mal Bhaktaha Same Priyaha. Krishna is saying a devotee is what he sees in the devotee as a qualification. He says, now, the commentary on that is, anapekshaha. Anapekshaha means, dehendriya vishaya sambandhadishu, apeksha vishayeshu, yasya nasti, sa anapekshaha. In other words, dehendriya vishaya sambandhadishu, that means, things related to one's own body. Things related to one's own body, and one's own senses, and sense objects, where one has not much of a concern about it, is anapeksha. That is anapekshatvam. Anapekshatvam means, not that you don't have to go and ask anything, anything for yourself, but even if you show too much attachment to the body, to the senses, to the desires, and if an overall unusual attachment develops, then that's not a good thing. That's what Krishna is saying. Anapekshaha. Body, senses, and the sense objects. Where one has not much of a attachment, asakti, the word. Dehendriyam vishaya sambandhadishu. Deham, indriyam, vishayam. That means material body. Vishayam means, indriyam means senses. And vishayam means sense objects. In all these things, it's sort of distancing. Not too concerned about it. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it doesn't matter. That attitude. Not very particular about it. I must have this. I must have that. If I don't get it, everything goes gone. That attitude is not a good thing. That's what Krishna is saying. That when one is free about, relaxed about these things, that is what is called anapekshatvam. Krishna is not saying you can't have anything. What Krishna is saying there, that when it comes and goes, it should not disturb inside. If it comes, also, you shouldn't get disturbed. If you didn't come, also, disturbance shouldn't happen. That is the peace. Nothing in the world should disturb the peace inside. That's more important. So, anapekshaha. Dehendriya vishaya sambandhadishu apeksha vishayeshu yasya nasti sa anapekshaha. Nusprahaha. Nusprahaha. Shuji dakshaha. Shuji and nuspraha. Nuspraha means that he is no spruha. Spruha means he feels that they are not so important in life. All these things are not that matters very much in life. Because you are moved away from the platform of the body to the soul. Therefore, on bodily level, anxiety has gone. Anxiety about things in the bodily level has disappeared. And nuspruha. Then Krishna is saying shuchi. Shuchi, normally, most of the people in this world, as far as relationship with Krishna is concerned, is not anapeksha, is it? It's apeksha. Always it is apeksha, not anapeksha. Anapeksha means no apeksha. Apeksha means desires and wanting things from Krishna. Wanting things from Krishna. That is apeksha. Always asking something. Krishna doesn't like it when people keep on asking things from him. That's why he hides behind, never wants to come in front. As soon as he sees these devotees are coming, he moves away from there, stays away. Because of this desires in our eyes, he's frightened of the list what we'll bring with us. So, anapekshaha means one who doesn't have any desires, nothing to ask from Krishna. That is, Krishna considers that as a great quality of a devotee. If you remember in the Bhagavatam also, it says, nirabeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshinam anuprajami aham nityam puyeye tyangri renubhi. A devotee without any desires I follow him, Krishna says. So, anavekshaha nuspraha, nuspraha, nuspraha. Then, shuchi, he says here, sometimes people say, why do you go to the temple? He says. So, in other words, we shouldn't go to the temple. I mean, you must be going to the temple because you want something, isn't it? That's why you're going to the temple. That's all they say. What happened? Why are you going to the temple? They say. So, there must be something, some problem inside. That's why you're going to the temple. So, in other words, normally, among the general masses of people, they have this understanding that unless you have a problem, you don't have to go to temple. You go to the temple only if you have a problem. Or there is something that you are expecting from this world, something must happen in life, therefore you go to the temple. Similarly, same thing with Srimad Bhagavatam. If you go and tell somebody that I'm going to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, people ask, why, what happened to you? They consider it's an unusual thing. It should not happen in life. You shouldn't hear Bhagavad unless you have some problem. That why do you go there? So they will also put it like this, that it's too early to start all these things. You have to wait till you're old and retired, and then you can start all this. That's where their attitude is. So anapekshaha, that means that you're not dependent on anything. That is that anapekshaha. Anapekshaha means not taking shelter of anything in this world. Not taking shelter of anything in this world. So, and a devotee's approach is, let Krishna do whatever he wants to do. And very bold enough and courageous enough to face that. That is the courage of a devotee. Whatever happens, he is willing to accept it. Whatever situations Krishna has put him in. So, that is the devotee. So, and devotee says to Krishna, whatever situation you have put me in, that's fine. I'm willing to live with that. I don't have any complaints about that. In other words, even with his own material body, he is not taking shelter of that. He's not taking shelter. He's not even depending on his own material body. But unless we free ourselves from this identity with the body, this cannot happen. Freedom from the body is important. And freedom from the mind. So that is why, not even dependent on the body, that is what is important. So, because very difficult in the material nature, in the Maya's domain, what will happen, it's very difficult to say. Today the body may be healthy, but tomorrow what will happen, who knows? How things will turn out. It's very difficult to say that. So, therefore, one should not, at any circumstances, take the shelter of this body. Because body will cheat you one day. Body will cheat you one day. Today it may be okay, but there is no guarantee that tomorrow it will be the same. Body can change. So, anything can happen with this material body. It's the same thing with money also. Wealth may be there today. All material needs are all met with the money. But tomorrow what will happen? Nobody knows about that, isn't it? So all these things are there. Same thing with the mind also. You may feel the mind is okay at the moment. It's not causing much of a problem. But sometimes the mind can become a problem. It can cause a lot of distress also. So therefore, you can't take shelter of any of these things. Either the money or the body or the mind. All of them are not good for taking shelter. Taking shelter means being dependent on them. It's not a good thing. That's why Krishna is saying, warning the devotee, that if you are still taking shelter of them, Krishna says he's not a devotee. He's not a devotee. Because that is how most of the people in this world are. Is it not? Always they are taking shelter of their own financial situation or their own health or their own... taking shelter of anything in this world, Maya, Krishna is saying that he is not conducive for bhakti. He is not conducive for bhakti. So, mind you can see, now it may be peaceful, but after a while it will start moving. Mind will start moving. So, just like people get upset at night time, when you don't get sleep, you start getting worried about it. You can't depend on the sleep also. If it comes, it comes. Because that's not in your hands. It's in the hands of the Prakriti, material nature. She decides whether you should get sleep or not. Not you, not me. We don't have the authority to decide whether we should get sleep or not. Especially in the old age, it's a big problem. That people don't get sleep. Then they get concerned about it. Then go to the doctor. Doctor writes a list of pills. Take it. Because Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidra Rubena Samstida. Namastase, 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 Namo Nama. In all of us, who is present is the Prakriti, material nature. She is present in all of us. And she decides, Nidra Rupena Samstita, when she wants to put us into sleep, she'll put us into sleep. Naturally, it will come and we'll fall asleep. And sometimes when you don't get sleep, you get concerned about it at night. But that is not an important factor. Because Krishna is saying there that if you get sleep, you sleep. If you don't get sleep, not concerned, anavekshaha, not disturbed over that. Similarly, health, another thing. If you are healthy today, fine. Tomorrow, no guarantee. If your health goes away by any chance, tomorrow the health is gone, you have to take it. Up to this time, I had a healthy life. Now it has happened this way. You have to accept it that way. Not thinking, oh, What am I going to do now? What will happen? Yes, everybody is concerned about the health. No question about that. But Krishna is saying, if you keep on absorbed in the body in this way, as far as eating, sleeping, health and everything is concerned, when will you come out of that to the platform of the soul? That's why that all these things, till now I had a healthy life. From now on, what will happen? Who knows? If Krishna puts you into bed and say that you stay in the bed for the rest of the life, you have to accept it. There is no choice there. There is no choice there. At that time also, not to complain to Krishna, you have put me in that situation. That is what Krishna says here as anapekshata. Under no circumstances, going and complaining to Krishna, you have done something wrong to me. You have put me in this difficult situation. That is bhakti. This is bhakti. Bhakti is all these things. That is where a misunderstanding comes. We think everything is wonderful if you have chanted and danced a lot, that is bhakti. But Krishna's word, so bhakti is all this. That in one's own life, how we relate with the world and how strong are we in our faith, in our surrender to Krishna, that is bhakti. You can see the relationship with the surrender, sharanagati and bhakti are connected. So here he says here, shujir dakshaha, isn't it? So many things one will have to experience in life. There is nothing we can say what is at the door waiting next time. So yadyad bhavyam bhavatu, whatever has to happen will happen. So sometimes people, you can see the sleep is a big issue, isn't it, with many people. When they don't, some people stay very late in the night and then they go to sleep because they can't get sleep early. So they go 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock like that, and then they go to sleep thinking that they'll get good. Some people have to take a lot of tranquilizers and tablets to get sleep. In this way, many, many people suffer in this world. They have to go through that. So they get, or sometimes they sleep early and get up in the middle of the night and then there is no sleep after that. So, for some people, they chant the holy name, they get sleep, and they go to sleep straight away. Or some others, they say that if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, I get good sleep. So they take two Bhagavatams. Whatever it is, that is how it is, the mind is, isn't it? So, if it is like that, let it be so. Chant the Hare Krishna and go to sleep. Or it is still better than taking all the tranquilizers and other things, if you can avoid that. So, never to take shelter of those things. But never to be dependent on anything, because whatever main principle in all these things is, what is not permanent, one should not take shelter. This is important principle in life. What is not permanent, nityam. Nityam means permanent. Only nitya vastu is worth taking shelter. Which means Krishna is the only object worth taking shelter. Nitya vastu, you should take shelter. Anitya vastu, you should do business with. Anitya vastu for business. Nitya vastu for shelter. This is the principle. Anitya vastu means temporary things. Anything temporary. Sleep, food, body, mind, money. All of them are temporary things. That is only for transaction. Transaction means vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means if it comes, it comes. You can utilize it, utilize it. If it doesn't come, don't lament about it. Leave it behind. Don't concern about it. Not to create a disturbance inside because of that. That is what Krishna is saying there. Anything in this life, either relationship with the body, mind, or money, or health, or anything for that matter, they are all anitya vastu. Anitya vastu, one should never take shelter, Krishna is saying. Always to take shelter of Krishna, the nitya vastu or the soul. When we say, in Jnani's language it is the soul, in devotee's language it's Krishna. That's all. Both are same thing, nitya vastu. Nitya vastu means permanent. It always exists, isn't it? There you can take shelter, temporary vastu, temporary thing, anitya vastu, never to take shelter. This is the principle. This, if we follow, what happens normally is, normally what happens is, in majority of the people's life, they take shelter of the anitya vastu, temporary thing, and they do business with Krishna. That's where everything goes wrong. And then it turns into terrible disappointment at the end. That's where all the spiritual life flops. People's spiritual life flops at that point, because you will see that in their spiritual life what they did was, they took shelter of the temporary thing because lack of knowledge. They took shelter of the temporary things like the body, the mind, the intelligence, the money, the health and things like that. And they did business with Krishna. In other words, never put complete faith in Krishna. If Krishna offers you this, you are willing to do this to Krishna. That relationship with Krishna. That is business-like approach. Whereas, shelter and faith in all the bank balance and the society and the money and the friends and all that, that causes problem. That's what Krishna is saying. When one change that situation, which happens in everybody's life, one time or the other, if you leave the temporary object, anitya vastu, if you leave them behind, if you stop taking shelter of them, automatically the permanent thing, nitya vastu, will start revealing itself from inside. That is how Antaryami manifests. When you stop taking shelter of the temporary things of this world, the nitya vastu, Antaryami, Krishna inside, will start revealing himself to us. Nitya vastu will illuminate us from inside. But because shelter is meant to be there, ashrayam. So, because shelter is the very nature of that Antaryami, our relationship as Antaryami is concerned is shelter. Shelter is because that's meant for us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see, Nirodho Muktirashraya. Ashrayam or shelter is the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. That even after liberation, if there is any relationship with Krishna, that is in the name of shelter, in the form of shelter. Shelter is expected from Jiva to Antaryami. Antaryami expects that shelter. Whereas we leave Antaryami behind and go to rest everything to looking for shelter elsewhere. Isn't it? That's where everything goes wrong. We have to look back into our own way of living, and you will see that this is a very powerful force within us. Antaryami expects us to surrender, but we won't surrender, we won't accept anything from Antaryami. Rather, our faith is in the world outside. Faith is in the world outside. Because ashrayam, shelter is not even required. If you just leave this shelter of the world, naturally shelter will go there. The shelter is required. Jiva wants a shelter because it has no existence otherwise. As soon as you leave the connection with the world, immediately our attention will go to Antaryami, because that is its Surubham, Surubham of the Antaryami. So, because we are taking shelter of the temporary object, Anitya Vastu, therefore Nitya Vastu, the permanent object, is not showing up. It is hiding behind it. So many things we are taking shelter in this world, isn't it? False things. We fall into that illusion in our head that money, I'll have enough money when you retire. You put your faith in all that, that there will be sufficient bank balance. That will protect me I'll get through my life in this world with the money what I have in the bank. Or once you start thinking that I have family members who will care for me but the old age, they will be there to protect me. And things like that. So you will not always know, whomever you have put faith in your life, thinking that they will be with you, you will see that the very same people will leave you at the time when you need them. That's the way it works in the world. So those who have were expected to give you that shelter at the time when you need it, and that very people were not there at the time when you need it. So these things happen in the life. Sometimes it's happened that they may get sick, or they needed help, or they needed assistance from somewhere else. So this is, you can't trust anything in this world. If you put your trust in anything, you will be disappointed later. So ashrayam is nothing here. There is no ashrayam here. So you can see here what all, if you look back into life, you will see people lived a life depending on the share market, isn't it? Sometimes what happens? lot of people have a lot of money invested in shares, stocks and shares. They think that if we spread it over a very wide number of that, everything will be okay. But then something, the whole thing goes in one lot. Then what do you do? And then you jump through the window. There's nothing else you can do. Isn't it? You've heard that in America happening, in Japan and all that. When the stock markets fail, they immediately come out of the window. And unfortunately, what happens is, government and the big institutions, they create this fear in people's mind all the time. Look at what's happening with the bank crisis now. That if Greece is going to bankrupt, I have to suffer here. Seeing here, what is the logic behind it? That shows that how ignorant I am, isn't it? That's only it indicates that. Krishna has made life very simple for us. You grow your food, eat and be satisfied with that and live in this world. But if my existence in this world is dependent on the whole 6 billion population in the world, then there's something wrong with my own understanding, isn't it? So that is what is Krishna is saying here. That if you live in that way, tomorrow you will cry because something will happen. Greece may go or Spain may go or Ireland may go. But does it have to be dependent on my survival in this? That will go on its own way. Anyway, it will go. It is meant to go. It will go. You won't be able to do anything about it. And these big, big leaders, you can see their ignorance in them because they are thinking that this is because of their meetings and controlling the banks and everything, that everything is going to be safe. Suddenly, when you'll be making all these plans, some bomb will blast something else in other form. There'll be no control over anything. This is proper Krishna consciousness. To know that material nature is in control, not our banks and the leaders. They can't do anything about it. So same thing, you can see this recession fear. They're trying to plug it from here, plug it from there. But there is always this fear inside. And because in the modern system, the leaders also are not responsible for anything. They know they're only there for 5 years. And so they can escape after that. They can say something and leave the people behind and go. And people will cry after that, isn't it? Just like you can see with the banks, what happened. The some wealthy people, they made money out of it and they escaped with the money. And government is saying, now we have to tighten the belt, we have to tighten the belt. All kinds of arguments, logic. Anyway, anyone who is thoughtful about it, you can see that the system, something seriously wrong. There is no dependence on Krishna. There is no. Krishna is saying to us, if you depend on all that, you will cry in this world. If it flops tomorrow, there is nothing to complain about it because the system itself is faulty. There is nothing to complain about. There is no point in crying. If it's there, take it. If it's not there, forget it. It's not going to sustain us in this world. That's the point Krishna is making here. So ashrayam is not possible in any of these things. The greatest foolishness is to think that our survival or sustenance in this world is depending on our cleverness. And that's what all this is about. We are thinking we are very clever, isn't it? And that thinking of that being clever is the greatest foolishness also. It is when we think that we are so clever, that is when Krishna drops the bomb. You will see something will go wrong from nowhere, unexpected angle, corner. Something can go wrong and the whole thing can become out of control. Like Japanese with all their great technology and everything, when that this last year or 2 years ago, when that three nuclear power plants altogether was damaged, what could they do? So a lot of people died and gone away from this world. There's nothing you can do about it. Material nature is too strong. She's not in our control at all. Krishna is saying that if you have put all your faith in all these things and dependent on them, thinking that life is all right, and then come to me only for when you have a little difficulty, that is not bhakti. That's what Krishna is saying. As long as our dependence on all these things is very strong, bhakti is not possible. Therefore, Krishna says that. So, many people, people do all sorts of things, just like they call these developing economies now, isn't it? Many other places. So what's happening in all those places, people are buying the land everywhere because land prices are going up. They are feeling, if I have a lot of land, even if the stock market fails, my land prices will protect me. The land prices have gone up 5 times, 10 times, whatever it is. In so many places, in India, China also, same thing. So there that impression is created. If you have a lot of land, you will be safe. Because you got a lot of assets in that way. So this is, this image, this impression is created. And somewhere else, land prices are dropping. And in other parts of the world, some places, land prices are dropping, property prices have dropped. Just like we know in Ireland how property prices have dropped considerably. So does that mean that everybody has to cry now? What has happened? People are left all the... So anything can happen in this world. If based on all these things, centered around all these things, if you base your life on all these things, Krishna is saying that you are a great fool. Greatest foolishness, that is. For example, when you everything is going well, all your finances and economy going well, from another side, cancer will come to the body. And what will you do with your land? What can the land do? So where is the shelter in all these things? That's what Krishna's doctor says. You cannot do, when you get an illness like that, a serious illness like that, you can't do anything. NHS can't do anything. Doctors can't do anything. All your bank deposit can't do anything. So many times you can see this in people's life, how the whole life changes overnight. So important thing here is that Krishna knows where to hit us. If you remember that, that's enough. Krishna knows where to hit us. That where Krishna has to hit so that our false ego will break. It is due to false ego that all the shelter we are feeling in this world with all these things, isn't it? That false ego is another form of manifestation, that is. Our own, that confidence in us. I can manage it. I know what to do. I know how to look after myself. This feeling inside, that is false ego. That devotee cannot have that. That's what Krishna is saying. A devotee who is thinking like that is not a devotee, Krishna says. He's not dependent on me. He's dependent on himself, his own ego. So when a devotee, when Krishna decides to show some mercy to him, what Krishna does is, he knows where to hit his false ego. Where to put the, poke the thing. So there, and Krishna will only hit at that place. When you see that everything else is very nice in this life, everything is going very well, Krishna will hit it somewhere where you will get very badly hurt. So therefore, you can see that our false ego, what value has it got? Or our cleverness, what value has it got? So therefore, what do we have to do? To stop taking shelter of all these things. In this way, to think about this and to give up that thoughts inside of taking shelter of the temporary things in this world. To use our thought power to get rid of those thoughts from inside. This is what Krishna is saying here. By thinking about it, you won't be able to understand it. By thinking about it, we sometimes think, oh, if I think about it, problems will be resolved. Thinking is not an answer to all the solution to the problems. Thinking is like a broom. You can sweep a lot of times with the broom, isn't it? And keep the place clean. That's all you can do. But by through thought power, if you reject things, then the truth will appear inside. Do you know what I'm saying? That thoughts should not be used to keep on analyzing things. What we have to do, that accept the truth as Krishna has given and remove such thoughts of dependence on others, on the worldly objects, what Krishna says as the health, wealth and all that, all those things, to remove our dependence on that rather than thinking about it if I can find a solution to the problem. So, Chinda means the thought power is only for that purpose. Through thoughts, when you start rejecting these things from inside, in a natural way, from inside, that realization will come about the shelter of the soul. That when our identification with the body goes away, naturally, the identification with the soul will happen. Identification with the soul will happen. And there, thoughts cannot touch that. When you start taking the shelter of the soul, that means when you lose your identification with the body, by accepting Bhagavad Gita's principles, naturally, shelter will go to the soul. And there, mind cannot interfere. Thoughts are a product of the mind. Mind has no interference there in that. Mind is separated. Mind cannot get involved in that. So that is why. So, so what does not exist? Thoughts are only a broom to sweep away of all the things what does not exist. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, I remember in the beginning itself, Krishna starts with that principle strongly. Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada ubhayo ravidrishtuandam stanayor tatudarshibhi. For this reason only, that if you have not taken shelter of the sat, you can expect, Krishna says, that nasado vidyade abhavaha. Sat has no abhavam and asat has no bhavam. This one principle, sat has no abhavam and asat has no bhavam. Krishna establishes that. And that's the same truth all the way through Bhagavad Gita. This one principle you will see flowing through every chapter. Nasado vidyade bhava. That's why it's such a key verse there. So that verse, if you keep on churning inside in every situation, you will see it makes sense. Nasado vidyade bhava. Na bhavo vidyade sada. And therefore, Krishna puts that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita itself. It is on this principle whole Bhagavad Gita is operating. This principle that way. So, Krishna says here, therefore, nothing is worthwhile taking shelter. So, and if you give up everything, what you know doesn't exist. What has no reality. Which means it is asat. Asat. All asat, if you give up the shelter of asat, then you can. The sat will naturally give that strength from inside. You don't have to go after sat at that time. All you have to do is to give up the shelter of the asat. Then, natural way, the sat inside will give you the strength. It will come out on its own. All what we have done is, inside the sat is there. The sat is inside there. Asat has come and covered it. All we have to do is to remove that asat from inside. Asat means all this, taking shelter of the false things like the world, health, money, body, mind. This is all Krishna puts them into one category, asat. Asat has no bhavam, Krishna says, isn't it? Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. Ubhayo ravi drishtvandam stanayor tattva darshibhi. Who found this? The sages. The rishis, they found this truth from the very Upanishads times. From Upanishads times, they have already established this one truth. And Krishna put that in the Bhagavad Gita as the principle of very foundation of Bhagavad Gita is that principle. All the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita is based on this principle only. Nothing else. So that has to be in our devotee's life also. It should stay. Without this basic principle, our surrender will never happen. Because what we will do, we will go and surrender to all the false things. Like the body, like the mind, like the money, like the society, like the, all false places, we will go and surrender. That means we will surrender to asat. To sat, we won't surrender. Which is the soul, Krishna. That will never happen. That's why Krishna is saying, leave behind the asat, naturally you will become surrendered to the sat. So you can see this in devotee's example. Who? In the Bhagavadam, this is the greatest devotee, Sudama. You saw that, yeah? He goes to Krishna. Sudama goes to see Krishna. There, who lost it? Krishna lost it. Sudama didn't lose it. Actually, when Krishna saw Sudama, and Sudama came to see him, he says here, never asked one thing from Krishna. Never asked one thing from Krishna. In a jubilant mood, he went to see Krishna. Of course, he is a Brahmana, that qualities were there in him, Brahminical nature. But when he went to see Krishna, you saw he never asked one thing from Krishna. And Krishna felt it very difficult. It was Krishna who was in trouble, not Sudama. Sudama never asked anything, even while leaving, never mentioned one word. And Krishna felt awkward. This is devotee. You can see that. From that devotee, this is what we have to learn. Isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, if you look, Sudeva Goswami speaks about Sudama at the very end of Bhagavadam. That itself is a great honor to Sudama. because out of the 90 chapters in the 10th canto, it is the 88th chapter Sudama's story comes. So while talking about Sudama, he says there, isn't it? Prashandalma Jitendriya, he says. He says, Prashandalma, that Shanti inside, not disturbed by anything in this world, no food at home to eat, the house is leaking everywhere, water is falling inside. Jitendriya, that strength and control of the mind and senses, Krishna couldn't say anything to him. And then Krishna felt that if I didn't do anything, what's my reputation then? That is what Krishna was in an awkward situation. Sudama was not disturbed. Krishna was very awkward, in an awkward situation. So that's what Sudama has done there. Sudama didn't want anything from Krishna. And Krishna felt awkward. If he goes back, and Sudama's wife sees that he has come back empty-handed, what will they think about me? And here I am sitting there, Dwaragadish, sitting there, Dwaragadish, the most wealthiest person in the whole creation, possessing, and he has gone to see him, and he has come back empty-handed. So Krishna knew that, and that's why he was in a very difficult situation. Sudama was not in a difficult situation. Prashandal, Krishnasyasil Sakha Kaschil, Brahmano Brahmavittamaha. Brahmano Brahmavitama, Krishnasya Sil Sakha Kaschil. He says, Sukadeva Goswami says, Krishna had a good friend when he was young, as a young boy. Krishnasya Sil Sakha Kaschil, he was a Brahmana boy. Brahmana he was. What else he was? Brahmavitama. That he was full of Brahman realization. That top realization of the truth, which means no identification with the body, mind, intelligence, never took shelter of anything in this world, of the money or any other thing in this world. Brahmano Brahmavitama, Prashandalma Jitendriya. He says so many glorifications of Sudama from the very beginning itself, Sukadeva Goswami, while speaking about him. Parikshit was excited about hear about Sudama, seeing that qualities in him. And that is what all this is about. These qualities you can see here properly in the 100% in that personality. So that is why anabeksha. Anabeksha means that. No desire, anything, nothing to ask from Krishna. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't matter. That mood all the time throughout life, maintaining that. Then Krishna is saying, Shuchihi. Next one. Anabeksha Shuchir Daksha Gadasino Gadav Udasino Gadavyada. If you look into the verse 16, you see Shuchi. Shuchi means cleanliness, isn't it? But two kinds. Bahyena Abhyandarena Shuchi Shauchena Sambannaha. In other words, Inside clean, outside also clean. This clean inside and clean outside. What does that mean? Inside clean, outside clean. Patanjali Yoga Sutram discussed this. What is cleanliness means? If you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Patanjali mentions this. Then he has a definition about this. He says there that this is the 41st sutram in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram. He says here that that shaujatu anga jugupsam parai asamsargaha. Only one sutram, simple sutram. He puts it like this: shaujatwal Angatwal Jugupsam Parai Asam Sargaha. Parai Asam Sargaha. In the Patanjali's language, what he puts it is there that not to touch others. That is the external purity. Not to touch others. It's not a good thing. Many of us have taken the wrong way. People embrace and hug and all that, isn't it, each other. And touching others' body from the yoga point of view is not a good thing. Anybody, each other. Because body itself is an impure thing. You already it's impure enough. And you add more. That's why it says here, Shaujatwal Anga Jugupsam Pare Asamsargaha, he says. As a result of the purity, there arises indifference toward the body and disgust for physical connection, physical contact with others. Physical contact with others. So, Shaujatwal Angas Jugupsam Pare Asamsargaha, he says here. So, Patanjali says there. So, Shaujam means this, that externally purification is possible. Of course, the other things what we talk about, maintaining the body clean, bathing regularly and keeping it clean, all those things are there. But when we say this, you have to also remember, it should not become a matter of pride inside. Because sometimes it will happen like that. If it becomes a pride, then it is no use. Just like sometimes, I am a Brahmin, I won't touch anybody. That way, that becomes pride then, isn't it? Abhimanam. For example, certain instances you can't do anything. Suppose you are traveling by train, people are sitting next to you, they'll touch. You can't, don't touch me. You can't say that to him. They'll take it in the wrong way, isn't it? Or if you travel by bus or something, tube, all these things, it's unavoidable. So it should not become a matter of pride, but as far as possible, not to touch others. That's all it is. As far as possible. So, not only that, as far as Shaujam is concerned, as far as possible, not to touch others. That is a good principle. Then, oneself, he should not touch one's own body and the mind as much as possible. In other words, what it means is, the false ego inside, if you don't touch that, it's pure. It's pure. If the false ego doesn't come out, it's pure. If you look into Mahabharatam, there is this, Yudhishthira Maharaj says in the Yaksha Prasnam. Yaksha asked many questions to Yudhishthira, isn't it? In Mahabharatam, there is this, the conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Yaksha. So Yaksha asked, what is purity, he says. How do you bathe, he says. What does bathing means? So he answers this, Snanam Manomala Tyagaha, he says. Bathing means purifying the mind. That is what the priority is. Yudhishthira's answer was like that. First purity is purifying one's own mind. If one keeps one's own mind very pure and clean, then that is the best form of bathing. Best form of bathing. Inside purity, in other words. External purity is necessary, which means eating, clean habits of eating and transactions in this world, vyaharam and recreation, everything in a clean way. And all those things are favorable for bhakti process. Favorable for bhakti process. Similarly, purity inside also. So, one of the things purity inside means, that's a very little subtle thing, inside purity. What is that inside purity means? Inside purity means no duality inside. That is purity. Duality means that always seeing in people gunam dosham, right and wrong, like that, and classifying people all the time. That's not pure situation inside. It's always impurity inside. To segregating people all the time. That comes from the impurity inside. That's not a good pure situation. To see that Krishna is present in every living entity, in different names and forms, people are present in this world. That is, so as soon as you think there is a second thing, there will not be any purity. That's what Krishna is saying. Duality, dvandvam. Dvandvam creates impurity inside. Duality. Duality creates the impurity inside. So Krishna is saying here, versus there is a second thing, it is impure. Anapeksha shuchir daksha. Next word is dakshaha. Daksha means what? Daksha means expertise. One who is expert in doing it. What is that expertise he's talking about? Expertise is that that instead of getting entangled in life with various karma and just doing the karma what is necessary as a dharma, so dharma, and living within that, not getting too much pulled by the forces of this world. Some people you can see how they are entangled to such an extent, and they themselves have no time to think why I'm so entangled in life. They get entangled to such an extent in various ways through their karma only. They will create karma. If they haven't got enough karma, they will create more karma. And they think that by all doing all this karma, karma binds people very easily. You will get trapped in that. Isn't it? Karma bandhanam. It's called getting trapped in the karma, unable to come out of it. And because there is this rajogunam is the cause behind it. If you have a lot of rajogunam inside, rajogunam wants action all the time, isn't it? Rajodigaha karma paraha. Dukheja sughamanina. Never satisfied inside. Always thinking, scheming. What should I do now? What should I do tomorrow? What should I... 5 years from now, what should I be? 10 years from now, what should I be? People plan all these kind of things in the big businesses and all that, isn't it? That they can't wait. They want to be there at the top. So, naturally, this thinking all the time going through, that is what is... But... That is to getting there is not the expertise. Expertise is that not disturbing you inside. That is the expertise. That very desire to become something in this world, to get recognition in this world, to amass a lot of wealth in this world and followers in this world. All these kind of desires disturbing inside and getting disturbed over it. That is karma. Karma vasana creating inside. Isn't it? So, whatever karma has been done, if it is done in a detached way, what is necessary to be done? Just as a necessity for maintaining, and that too, without any pride inside, and without allowing any pride to develop inside, because it is impossible to do any karma in this world without faults, which we know. No karma is without faults. You can look at anything, any great personality would come to this world. They have done a lot of things here, but you will also notice all their karma is also accompanied with faults. No karma is pure. That is the very nature of karma. Take for example, if you look, great personality like Mahatma Gandhi's life itself, whatever he has done in order to for the freedom fighting and all that, that was wonderful. So many things he tried to bring people into some spiritual understanding of life. But you could see the after effect as soon as the partition happened, slaughter happened. Millions and millions of people got killed in that process. So many people then started blaming Gandhi for that. Mahatma Gandhi was blamed for that situation. So if you know that in the material nature, that anything what you do will have its some after effect which will come which may not be very pleasant. That's why I'm saying no karma is pure in this world. Every karma will have its own drawback. Its own drawback. Now, to take example, even in ISKCON society, Prabhupada come and preach Krishna consciousness in many places, many devotees. But after effects of some of them was not very pleasant, isn't it? We can see that the child abuse and so many things happened from that. And questions have come up about that, that how did this happen? That is the nature of karma. Doesn't matter what it is, who it is, how great the person is. Material nature won't allow anyone to escape from here. Nobody can perform pure karma in this world without after effect. That's the very nature of karma. And nobody could do anything about it. They were great personalities. They have done something great things in this world. It is not finding fault with anybody. It is just the way the nature works. That if we understand, that's enough. That is why Krishna is saying that karma is a trap. If you engage in karma, you should be prepared to pay the price for it. No matter who it is, it will happen. No matter who it is, it will happen. Material nature is such a powerful thing in this world. False it is. It works in that. And that is why if you look into the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse Krishna mentions about that. 1848. Sarvarambahi doshena dume agni ivanala. Krishna is saying that. Let's look at that verse. సహజం కర్మ కౌందేయ సదోషం అవిన త్యజేద్ సర్వారంభాహి దోషేణ ధూమే అగ్నిరివానల. సహజం కర్మ కౌందేయ సదోషం అవిన త్యజేద్ సర్వారంభాహి దోషేణ ధూమే అగ్ని ఇవానల. ఎవ్రీ ఎండెవర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై సమ్ సార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్ట్ జస్ట్ ఎస్ ఫైర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై స్మోక్. దేర్ ఫోర్ వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ గివ్ అప్ ది వర్క్ విచ్ ఇస్ బోర్న్ ఆన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ నేచర్ ఓ సన్ ఆఫ్ కుంది ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ సచ్ వర్క్ ఈస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ ఫాల్ట్. నౌ రీడింగ్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ స్టార్ట్ థింకింగ్ ఓ I'll do a lot of things in this world and something goes wrong, I'll use this verse as a excuse. That's what most of the people do. That's what how people abuse the Bhagavad Gita. They'll do go and do all sorts of nonsense and then they will, that's not what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying every karma, as much as possible, don't increase this load on your back, karma, unnecessarily. Getting entangled in so many things and then making complicated everything. But whatever that is happening, there will, could be faults even within that. That's all it means. But normally what happens, people say, do something and then they'll say, they look, or if something has gone wrong, they'll say, look, Krishna says like this. Every karma has its own faults. So Krishna says here, every endeavor is covered by some sort of fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work which is born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. So, which is born of his nature, he should not give up. In other words, Swadharmam. That's what it means. Swadharmam. Swadharmam is necessary because why? It is Swadharmam, you get your vasanas gone, exhausted. Otherwise, if you don't do the Swadharmam, vasanas won't get exhausted. That means that vasana will stay inside, it will create another body again. So, that is the purpose behind it, that the vasanas are meant to get exhausted. Therefore, the karmam is necessary. And that too, Krishna says, sudharmam is necessary. So, through sudharmam, that is what is meant to happen. Krishna is saying there. Udasino gadavyada. So, udasinam. So, here, something interesting is that... So, we are talking about... Sarvarambahi doshena dume ragni vanala. Krishna is saying here, whatever karmam you do, along with that, some faults will be there with that karmam. Because any karmam, there is no good karmam and bad karmam in this world. That is, we make it good and bad. In reality, from Krishna's viewpoint, good karmam, because when you say something is a good karmam, there will be a lot of bad karmam, bad results will also come along with that. Then, so, if one is able to live in this world without being touched by that after effects, then that is his, that he is expert then. That is daksha. That word daksha means that. That you are doing karmam. So, first thing, do that much karmam what is necessary according to your sodharmam or whatever come according to your prarabdham. In the hand you do that. And exhaust the vasana inside from let it go in that way. Don't make it more complicated by pulling too many things on the shoulders and absorbing in that. That's first thing. Secondly, when those karmam, whatever that has been executed, like sodharmam if it has come through. For example, a judge in a situation, just an example, a judge may have to punish people, either sometimes even very capital punishment they may have to give. Now, in such a situation, sometimes it's also difficult for them when they think about it, that they are responsible for taking someone's life, isn't it? So he has to be so sure in himself that the crime that has been committed does deserve that punishment and it is completely justified in giving that punishment. Or sometimes when you give a very serious or heavy punishment to say long-term imprisonment or something like that, and if you do not know that there is not sufficient proof to prove that the criminal has done that, then also it will be something that will hurt him. The judge will also, as long as they have a conscience inside. So the point is that once a karmam has done, then whatever after effects comes from that, not allowing that to disturb inside, that is daksha. Daksha means that. In all our vyavaharam in this world, there will always be problems, isn't it? When you deal with the anything in this world, customers, banks and businesses, everywhere you will have some results will be not favorable. Sometimes unfavorable things can happen. In all that circumstances, when karma is executed, when all those circumstances, if that does not come inside and gets affected by that, then you are daksha. That's what Krishna calls it as daksha. Daksha means that expertise, that means carrying out karma, not allowing that to disturb inside. That's what he mentions that, because there will be always complaints about it. There will be always complaints about it. So, able to stay unaffected by that, that is that daksha. So, on the other hand, you cannot live without doing it. That's the situation. Sometimes it is like that, is it not? You have been given a certain task as a part of your work. You have to do that. And when you have to do that, that one has to judge oneself in whatever position one is in this life. Sometimes you may have to do that. But when you do that, it should, if there is some bad after effect, it should not come and disturb inside. That is daksha means. Daksha means that. It's a very important thing in the sense that people are doing big things. Are saying, like as I was mentioning about that, certain things have happened in the ISKCON society also. Now, Prabhupada has done with good intentions many things, isn't it? That for the benefit of the world, he traveled and preached Krishna consciousness to many, many people. Now, in that process, some people had to go through difficult times in life. It's come from that. Now, because of that, then it was not very pleasing for Prabhupada also what has happened. Was not very pleasing to him what happened. But he had to live with that situation. That is daksha. That he has to live with that situation because he knows very well anything you do in this world, there will always be something bad can happen from that. You can't do any karma in this world where you can make sure that everything has gone on perfect and which has not caused any after effect from that. So here the important thing is sodharmam one has to perform. That is an important thing which Krishna discussed earlier, isn't it? Sodharmam one should do. Paradharmam one should not do. Krishna warned us there. You remember that? I don't know whether you remember. When we discussed the Karma Yogam chapter, Shreyan Sodharmo Vigunal Paradharmo Sonishtidal, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? What is Paradharmam and all, we have spoken about it at that time. If you remember that, Shreyan Sodharmo Vigunal Paradharmal Sonishtidal, Sodharmam should be done, Paradharmam should not be done. And we discussed that at that time. I will not go through that whole thing again. What is Paradharmam and what is Sodharmam? Krishna never have given such a strong warning in the Bhagavad Gita anywhere else. How Paradharmam is damaging to the world, not only to himself, to the world as well, when he engages in Paradharmam. Paradharmam means doing dharmam what it does not belong to him. Engaging in an activity which is not his activity. That is word daksha. The secret of karma. Karma rahasyam. In other words, the secret of karma. And when one executing one's own karma in a completely detached mood, without any attachment, without desiring any results from that, and that is has to be done. And that thing, karma, can create some problems like that. Therefore, it is important that paradharma means what you execute in that way, you should not get trapped in the paradharmam. If you feel that you need to understand the sadharmam paradharmam better, you should go back to that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. 335. Where we talked about that, sadharmam and paradharmam. We spoke in detail in that chapter, in the third chapter. We discuss that, so you will understand what that sodharmam and paradharmam means. Strictly speaking, sodharmam is based on the varnashrama dharmam, varnam and ashramam. Brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, brahmachari, grastha, vanaprastham, sannyasam. But that Varnam has gone away from this world now. Varnam doesn't exist anymore. Is it not? Varnam Ashram is not existing anymore. Then people will ask, what is Swadharmam then? Swadharmam primarily means that whatever Prarabdham has brought in one's life, Prarabdham brings some karmam, isn't it? Prarabdham brings us to engage in some karmam in this world. Prarabdham created this body and Prarabdham has given a way of life also in this world. So whatever that has come through Prarabdham, that karmam, Prarabdha karmam, if that is executed as Swadharmam, Prarabdha karmam is Swadharmam at that time for him, for that person, is Swadharmam for him. If it is done like that, without attachment and without expectation of results, then Krishna mentions here that if he does like that, Krishna will make sure that the devotee is maintained in this world. So, when we lose that balance in life, when we lose that balance in life, in that case, Krishna's protective power will not work. Remember, Krishna mentions earlier in the 9th chapter that Ananyas chindayandomam yejana parivasade tesham nithyabhiktanam yoga kshemam mahamyaham. In one place Krishna says, a devotee who has surrendered to me with ananya chinda, without thinking of any other plans in life, and who is serving me, who is living a Krishna conscious life, tesham nithyabhiktanam yoga kshemam mahamyaham. I will take care of his needs, Krishna guarantees that, for a devotee who lives in this based on these principles. That means, engages in Swadharmam, whatever that has come through Prarabdham, he does that, does not expand his karmic world, in other words, karmic empire, rather satisfied with things what Krishna has given. In such a case, Krishna says, it is his responsibility to look after the devotee. He mentions that in the ninth chapter, isn't it? But if we don't follow this, this power, Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham, that power of Krishna, it will not work. It will not work. Just like if the electricity goes, the light will go. Isn't it? Similarly, only if you adhere to this law, what Krishna has given, only then Krishna is saying Yoga Kshemam Mahamyaham. Otherwise not. What we do, we do all sorts of things and says, Krishna said like this in the Bhagavad Gita, why he is not doing it? No, it's not. Everything is subject to certain conditions, whatever Krishna says. Krishna is saying there that one who surrendered to me and lives a life in this world, but engages in karma according to his prarabdham, whatever that has come, and maintains himself in this world, I'll make sure that he will have his life get through in this world without sheltered from other problems. He will be maintained in this world. Krishna is saying like that. There are many examples like that, devotees' cases, who are in that state. So that verse, tesham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham, that force, it's a force, Krishna's force that is, that will only work if this is followed. Otherwise, it will not be there. Therefore, otherwise, but once you lose that balance, it's very easy to lose the balance, isn't it? So, for example, suppose you have a regular occupation, any job, doesn't matter, whatever you are doing, or business, whatever it is. Suddenly, you found some opportunity to make a lot of money. Something came in life and you felt that, oh, there's another opportunity. Let me forget, keep Bhagavad Gita separately for the minute. Bhagavad Gita doesn't apply to this situation, you say. This opportunity may not come again. And then you got and jumped into something else to make a huge project and make a big plan. And then you got caught up in that completely. And then if you blame Krishna, Krishna says, that verse doesn't apply. That's what Krishna is saying. It's a very important verse in that sense, because our Rajogunam inside will prompt us from within to go and do so many things in this world, isn't it? That's the nature of Rajogunam. Always work, action. Action oriented. Very ready to act. So that action will push us from inside, because it is quite possible that sometimes a lot of opportunity comes to make money, isn't it, in life. And when that opportunity comes, people think that, oh, Krishna wants me to make money now, so therefore, I'll stop chanting, I have no time, because this business requires so much attention, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Things like that, you will give your own interpretation of that. And then start running after that money. For a few years, you're busy, caught up in all. It has happened in people's life all the time. They got caught up in that, and then everything failed. It can also happen. Suddenly, sometimes a lot of money comes, and it's all lost in the business. Then you're saying that, Krishna said, he said like this in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am a devotee, I am chanting 16 rounds. I've been chanting all before, and then I have also done everything, as Krishna is saying, following principles and everything. Why this has happened to me? People ask this question. That will not work. The reason is this. Krishna is saying here that expertise, dakshaha, means all these things. To be conscious of this, that Krishna has put us in one situation in this world, every one of us in different situation. But in all those situations, be satisfied with that, and to make sure that we don't get too entangled in life, because if you do get too entangled, spiritual life is not possible. That is not a symptom of spiritual life. It's not a symptom of Krishna consciousness. That way, bhakti cannot develop. That's why Krishna is saying there that devotee's nature is dakshaha. He's expert in weighing up all these things and to act in the proper way at the right time. So yoga kshemam, that will go away. So, if it is not there, Krishna's that yoga kshema shakti, that power of yoga kshemam, will look after him. And it will do what is necessary. Whereas, inside, if he is drained out, everything, outside also, the same thing will happen. Krishna is saying here, shuchihi dakshaha, dakshyam. Dakshyam means, dakshaha means dakshyam, he has got dakshyam. Dakshyam means karma kushalata. Karma kushalata means that expertise in handling karmam. Because karmam is our greatest challenge in the life, isn't it? As soon as we develop some intelligence to live in this world, what do we do? Karmam. Karmam is the first thing. And that follows us all the way through, right up to retirement. Even then, after that we don't leave it, it will follow us some way or the other. So karmam is what we are very closely connected with. Not the family, not the house. They are all after effect of the karma. Isn't it? Family life and house and everything is after effect of the karma it is. Karma and me are together all the time. Throughout life, that's what's happening. Isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that not being caught up in that karma, that is the dakshyam, dakshada. That expertise, that's what he is saying here. He has to do it, but at the same time, the impact of that should not happen. That's what Krishna is saying. Karmam he has to do in this world, but it should not impact, create any new karma vasana inside. That is called dakshyam. Shujir dakshaha. Now, if anything goes wrong in karmam, and after effect comes from that, then Krishna says the next word, udasinaha. See how karmam is analyzed by Krishna? Krishna says, if you have done some karma, something has gone wrong. Anything can go wrong, isn't it? So many things can go wrong. And anything, any activity you do, something can go wrong. Krishna says, if something goes wrong, udasinaha. Udasinaha. Udasina means that to stay unaffected by that. That is udasinata. Can't do anything about it. So here, dakshaha, let me read the explanation to that. Dakshaha, pratyutpanyeshu karyeshu sadyo yathavat pratipattam samarthaha. In other words, that pratyutpanyeshu karyeshu, all that things that comes up in life, in our daily businesses in this world, sadyo yathavat pratipattam samarthaha. In all those things, taking decisions in such a way at the appropriate time, what is necessary, and not getting pulled by that is daksha, is the expertise. Anapekshasujir daksha udasino gadavyatha. So when it goes wrong, naturally the attitude is udasina. Udasinaha means what? Udasinaha means Suppose the after result effect of the karmam is good, you shouldn't get affected. As much as if the after effect is bad, in either way, not to get affected by the karma. That's what it means. Whether it is good or bad, good and bad is in our mind. It's not from Krishna's point of view, good or bad. Good and bad because something, you did some business, you made a lot of money, then you feel you've done well and you feel good. That should not happen, Krishna is saying. And similarly, you lost everything in the business and lost all the money, you shouldn't feel bad also, because that is Udasinada. Udasinada means that, not feeling good or bad either way. Because devotee thinks, Krishna is saying, once you have come to this world, there will always be problems. There will always be problems. Distress will be there. You can never be happy and perfect in this world. It is not possible. No matter who, how great he is. So, and to show to us, Krishna gives his own life as the example. Krishna's life is the best example for that. He says, all his children, they went and did something really bad, isn't it? What did they do? They went and insulted Durvasa Maharshi, Vishwamitra, and Narada Maharshi and many others. Krishna's children has gone and done that. That's what the children did, is it not? You remember when Krishna left this world? Why did all these things happen? Krishna is showing to us, once you come to this world, don't expect too much from here. Be realistic about it. This is what is on offer here. Including in Krishna's case also, whether it is Krishna or Ramchandra, doesn't matter. The world is like that. That's what they are telling us. Just, oh, we will say, oh, that's Krishna, it doesn't matter. What for him? Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am simple man, what am I going to do? Why does it happen to me? We will say that. That is not the logic. Logic is this. If it can happen to Krishna and Ramchandra, it can happen to me also. That's the way one has to accept that. Children went and did all this. They tried to really insult the sages, which was the cause of the problem. Whole problem started from there, isn't it? Samba dressed up as a pregnant woman and asking Durvasa, right person to ask the question. That there will be a boy or girl when it's a baby. And Durvasa said to him the actual reply also, isn't it? You can see what will come from Durvasa's mouth. So, so children have done this. And then what else? When they never thought about discussing with Krishna about anything, goes and tells the granddad, Ugrasena. Ugrasena says, don't worry about it, you don't have to discuss with Krishna, I'll sort that out, he says. And then goes there, and when things started seriously going wrong, Krishna says to them, let's all go to Prabhasam. And please the Brahmanas there, we'll invite them, feed them well, give them dakshina and pay our respects to them. And somehow try to escape from this calamity what was in waiting for them. And what did they do there after going there? After going there, after they have done all the rituals, what they had to do, they all go and get drunk and pulled out all the plants and trees are there, pulled them out and started beating up each other and killed all each other. This is what has happened. So, can you imagine Krishna's life is like this, family life. All the grandchildren all beaten up each other and killed themselves. The children have gone and done this. So, Krishna is saying there, but what is that? Mahabharatam, you will see this more. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's only an indication there about it. Mahabharatam, it is in a big way. They all go to Prabhasam, and Prabhasam, that is this Eraga grass. That's what they have pulled out. And what did Krishna do when all this happened? You notice that what Krishna did at that time? He sat there, let them finish it up. That's what he said. He didn't go and interfere in that. He could have interfered if he wanted. Krishna was there, Balaram was there. Neither of them did anything. They said, let them beat up and kill themselves. Grandchildren are killing each other and family members. And Krishna and Balaram sitting there, let them sort it out themselves, he said. He knew that they are killing each other, beating up and fully drunk as well. So, so that is what that word Udasinaha means. Udasina means that Udasina, what can you do? You can't do anything about it. Krishna is showing to us. In such situation, be Udasinada. Udasinada. Lot of people will do a lot of nonsense in this world. which you may not like it, but stay away and leave them to themselves. Let them do what they want to do. So, nothing in this world will be perfect as we like it to be perfect. It will not be like that. If we think that everything should be very much perfect and ideal in this world, we can say all that, but adarsham, it's called adarsham, isn't it? Adarsham means to hold on to some higher principles and expect the whole world. That is not possible. The world won't allow, because there is so much false ego also present in this world. Because to think like that, adarsham, that I want to be ideal in that way, that itself is false ego. To think that everything should be ideal, that itself is a false ego. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, if I become too idealistic, holding on to these things, then Krishna will make fun. Krishna will make fun. In other words, wherever you are holding on to very high ideal, Krishna will hit you there. That thing what you hold on thinking that, oh, I am very much based on this ideal, and you start holding on to that, there Krishna, Maya will, material nature will hit you, strike you there. Strike there. This is a very difficult thing in this world. While dealing with karma, while dealing with vyavaharam, while dealing with material nature, we just don't know. If any time false ego comes up and start doing things, immediately Krishna makes sure that the false ego is hurt. Is hurt. So Krishna says here, so wherever we find that the false ego or pride is building up, Krishna will come and open the tire tube and release the air from inside. Like in the car you do when you have higher pressure in the tire, you release the air, isn't it? Same way when false ego gets very high inside, somewhere you will see that Krishna is working. Material nature will do something so that ego goes away. Suddenly you'll think you're very healthy and everything is looking very good. You feel the top of the world, as they say. And suddenly the next day morning you get up, you feel the body is aching or something else is going wrong in the body. So that is so wherever Krishna has put us, keep us, we live there. And whatever Krishna makes us to do, we do that. And whatever happens in life, accept it in that way. That is why, whichever way it happens, and whatever way it happens, that is that Udasinaha means. Udasinaha means that Krishna mentions here that the Udasinaha, Pratyutpanyeshu Karyeshu Sadhyo Yathava Pradivatam. Udasinaha. What is Udasinaha? Udasinaha na kasya chil mitra de paksham bhajayada ya sa udasino yadi vyadavyadho gada bhayaha. That Udasinata, what Krishna calls it here, is the important thing, what he mentions here. That Udasinaha. So all that is Udasinaha. Then the next one, Krishna is saying here, Gadavyatha. You see that word? Gadavyatha. Anavesha sujirdaksha udasino gadavyatha. Krishna is saying. What is that Gadavyatha means? Gadavyatha means never gets depressed about anything or never create any tension inside because of that. Tension. So we talk big, it's a famous story about Socrates. You may have heard about that. Mentioned that before also, isn't it? Socrates' wife was very always quarreling with Socrates. Socrates' wife was always quarreling with Socrates. Socrates was very absorbed in the philosophy. He was Prabhupada says about Socrates that he was self-realized. In the Brahman realization stage he was. So Socrates used to have a lot of visitors at home. And they will be busy discussing philosophy. Socrates used to discuss philosophy with them all the time. And the wife never liked it. This man is sitting at home and discussing philosophy. Most of the wives won't appreciate that if it goes to discussing philosophy. They expect the housework to be done as well. And therefore, there was a problem there. Socrates was not interested in anything. So now and then, she'll come to the room and shout at Socrates when he was discussing with the others, other things. And she used to think all these things important in life, what he is discussing. Nothing he is worried about the needs at home and never cared about the life. And therefore, she was getting now and then upset and used to get upset and goes to him and shouts at him often. And Socrates never used to get disturbed over it. Gatavyatha, that is that Gatavyatha. Never feeling disturbed over anything. But in one instance, what happened was, she got so angry that she brought a whole pot of water and poured it whole thing on Socrates' head. She got so angry, she was so fired up, that she got so upset that she poured the whole water on Socrates' head. Socrates sat there, and in a very cool way, he says to all his guests, he says, "Till now I have only seen thunder, now it has started raining," she says. That was his way of putting it. So that means inside he was so cool about it. All these things did not disturb him at all. That is what Krishna says is Gatavya. Where does this come from? Self-realization. That is the quality. That's what I'm saying. Krishna mentions all these devotee qualities of a devotee comes at a stage in a devotee. If these things are happening, Krishna is saying, you can say that he's advancing in spiritual life. This is how you can to look to oneself and see, if these things are happening in life, you can say that your Krishna consciousness is getting better. That's the way to judge, to look at oneself. That's what it is important. That's why to know, to do that, you have to know what is required, isn't it? What is expected. So therefore, this will help. That's the idea behind it. But if you try to cultivate them, it won't work. It's not possible. That's the way it is. That comes from self-realization. When realization comes naturally, it will happen in this way. That's what Krishna is saying here. Gatavyada. No disturbance at all. So, Gatavyadaha. I mentioned this, I think, a story. In Kumbhakonam in Tamil Nadu, there is a very famous Veda Pathashala. It means where they taught the young Brahmana boys Vedam, how to study the Vedam. They are still there, but with a limited number of children study there. So in that Veda Pathashala, there was a very great devotee. Devotee in the sense that these qualities you will see in him, in other words. And he was a personality, all his students loved him. They loved him so much. Reason being that never disturbed and never gave any harsh words spoken to the children. And children found great shelter in his that peace. In his presence, they felt peaceful. In other words, normally in the schools, children of that age, 10, 8, 10, 12, they are always frightened of the teacher, isn't it? The teachers are a threat, is a terror for them. In the normal schools, I'm saying. Of course, in the modern way, it's different completely. Here, what all happens in the modern schools, better not to discuss about that because it's too far way out. But in the olden days, in the where punishment was allowed, and some of the teachers in the schools will be very much heavy with the children also. But this Veda Pathashala, where they taught Vedam to the children, these young boys, they were very fond of him because of his that peaceful nature in that person. And they also knew about his wife, this teacher's wife. Wife was always very fiery, very fiery. And she had little problems inside in the mind. She had mental problems. So sometimes she will get very heavy with him as well. Just like in the case of Socrates also, she used to come to the classroom and speak to him in a very harsh way and go away. But never once he spoke anything in a rude to her in front of them. Never spoke one thing. Didn't want that the children to think any time that rudeness is acceptable. And seeing his peace within, the children were so impressed by that the children always spoke about very highly about the teacher. So, in one instance, what happened was, she has got her control, completely lost her control. And she brought this big knife, which is used for breaking the coconut, which is a very big knife. If you've seen that, she had that in the kitchen. She took that and came up to him. And all the children got up and ran away from there, thinking that she's going to kill him. That's the mood she was in. At that time, he sat there and recited a famous verse. Even in that situation, he recited this verse. He says there that Ashtau Bhujangim Mahishasya Mardinim Sashanga Chakram Sharashula Dharinim Tam Divya Yogim Sahajada Vedasim Durgam Sadam Sharanam Aham Prabhadye. What he saw in her is not the wife, but Durga Devi. Durga Devi has come, he says. Durga Devi is the death in destruction, isn't it, personified? In that form, he saw her presence. In other words, even though she came in this way, he was able to see her as a divine personality. And he recited this verse, famous verse that is, Ashtau Bhujangim Mahishasya Mardini, Mahishasura Mardini form. Sri Parvati's another form is this, Mahishasura Mardini. Shyamala Dandakam, famous prayers from the Devi Bhagavatam, all centered around this. She is the material nature. Ashtau Bhujangim, eight hands, and she has appeared. If you remember, when Krishna appeared, Kamsa caught her, isn't it? And through her, she went into the sky and stood in the sky with eight hands. And all the eight hands, she had eight different weapons mentioned. That is his Ashtau Bhujangim. Ashtau Bhujangim means it's the eight hands with weapons in the hand. And she stood there and told Kamsa, spoke to Kamsa from there, from the sky. So, Ashtau Bhujangim Mahishasya Mardinim Sashanga Chakram Sharashula Dharinim. She had got this spear in the hand, the disc in the hand, and Tam Divya Yogim Sahajada Vedasim. Then she is the personification of the truth, and she is staying there, and our teacher is seeing in that his wife, not as his wife, he never tried to protect himself, recited this verse in front of her. As soon as she heard that verse, she dropped that knife there and went back to the kitchen. Again, didn't do anything. And when afterwards children were looking through the window, what's going on inside? All these things happen in life, isn't it? And when they saw that everything was peaceful, they came back to the classroom again. So that is why, that is that what they call it as Gatavyatha. Gatavyatha means that never shaken by anything. Not due to anything else, due to that inside, realization inside. Therefore, so here, you'll see it here that Krishna mentions that also in the here. So after that, Sarvarambha Parityagi, that is the next one, isn't it? Sarvarambha Parityagi Bhaktimanya Samaya Priya. Krishna says, what is that Sarvarambha Parityagi? Anabhesha Sujirdaksha Udasino Gadavyatha Sarvarambha Parityagi. Sarvarambha Parityagi. So, in order to change anything like that, a form like that who has come with so much anger, to change that into a divine form, that requires Bhava Bhalam. Bhava Bhalam. Bhava Bhalam means, inside if you have that Bhavam, that this person who has come in front of me to kill me or to hurt me with this sword, if he had that realization inside, that inside that person, Devi is present in her. And this form, what she is coming now in front of me, is that manifestation of Devi's form. That is the Bhava Bhala. That is a very understanding, higher understanding of the life. So, when this has happened, though, every time that mother, the wife, when she became eccentric, he will become more peaceful than anybody else. So, when she became upset, he won't get upset. The Udasino Gadavyatha. That is Udasino Gadavyatha. Gadavyatha means that. That's that word Gadavyatha means. Then the next one is Sarvarambha Parityagi. Have you noticed that? That is the next one, what Krishna is saying there. Sarvarambha Parityagi means he won't start anything new unnecessarily, a devotee. He won't get caught up in so many situations and increase his commitments in this world. Commitments in the sense that unnecessarily entangling in so many things. Sarvarambha Parityagi. New ventures all the time. People start saying that, oh, I have to save this world. once this comes, then you will find fault everywhere in the world. And then if you have to correct everybody in the world, it is not possible, is it? It's not possible to correct every situation and everyone in this world. And in that process, a lot of new ideas will develop in the heart, new plans will make, and then new arambham. That is called sarvarambha parityagi. So unnecessarily, karma kalabam will happen. Karma kalabam means that new ventures, and from there new karma. And from that new karma, new entanglement and new asanas. All that is troublesome. So unnecessarily on his own, he won't create anything. But whatever has come through prarabdham, he will do it. And whatever it happens from that prarabdham, he will accept. He will not go against it. He will not go against it. Say, for example, if he is in a situation that some karma has to go through him, that he will know it if he is sensitive enough that this is coming through me now. That subtlety is necessary in life. Sometimes karma comes like that in life, and he will take it and do it. And you can see this, he's not going against that. Even if you try to stay away from that, something will build up around you. This is also another side to it. That also you can see how it can, you can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it. Suppose, to give you some example, that something you have tried to do, good thing in this world, but sometimes, due to circumstances, something will build up around that. That is what has happened in many Mahatmas' life. Many of these great realized souls, they never had any definite plan to build huge institutions. We must know that. They think that, oh, why have they created all these big institutions? In fact, it was not their plan. They wanted these big institutions. What has happened is that when they preach means when they talk about Krishna consciousness or the knowledge, when they want to spread the process of bhakti, in that process, the result will always be that something will happen centered around them. Some ashram will come up, or some institution will come up centered around them. That is unavoidable. But their success is, they won't identify with the institution to that extent. Lot of misunderstanding on this one issue. People have started saying, this is a very common statement, that Prabhupada created ISKCON and maintaining ISKCON was Prabhupada's goal. Maintaining ISKCON was not Prabhupada's goal. Prabhupada's goal was to maintain Krishna consciousness in the people. If Prabhupada could maintain Krishna consciousness in the world, Prabhupada won't want ISKCON. We have changed the whole understanding. We started thinking ISKCON is more important, Krishna consciousness is not important. ISKCON has become like that. This is a misunderstanding that develops in our mind. No Mahalma, same thing happened with Ramana Maharshi and others also. They were not into building big institutions. That was not their goal. That is a businessman who do that. After self-realization, you can't do it. It's not possible. After realizing the truth, after knowing the futility of this material world, after seeing the temporary nature of this world, after seeing all the faults of this world, only an ignorant person will start to build up an institution here and try to think that institution is going to solve all the problems here. That is jnanam it is, avidya it is, ignorance it is. So you can see there, but what will happen is, when they are presenting this understanding to the world, in their process of presenting this knowledge to the world or Krishna consciousness to this world, in a unavoidable situations, something will spring up around that. Something will spring up around that. We have completely misunderstood everything. No spiritual personality has any desire to build institutions, because they know the nature of the institution, what will end up eventually. They are conscious of that. They are more wise and more intelligent than us to see through these things. They can understand that
bringing in a plenty of wealth is damaging. It will cause problem. They know that. It is so much discussed in the Shastram about the problem that money will create. And they know very well that if money wealth comes to this institution, it will completely destroy the consciousness of the people. Then it will be all running after money and running after the assets and property. Spiritual life will go from there. Knowing very well, they will not endeavor in that direction. What they wanted was, the message should be spread as much as I can so that others may get benefited from the Krishna consciousness. Beyond that, they didn't expect anything. But certain things are unavoidable. People will say, if you want to stay as a devotee, we know all these facilities we need. So, and then the whole attention will go into properties and other things. Money and property, these things will become the priority more than the Krishna consciousness. And that is unavoidable. It happens. But we must be sensible enough to know that not only in our situation, it has happened in all the institutions. Wherever you look, you will see the same thing has happened. Whether in Ishkon or Ranamaji's ashram, in other ashrams also, it is the same problem. That people will come and then they felt the need, the preceptor
who have founded the institution, he may not be able to control the whole situation. It is not possible. All over the world things will happen, various things. There he will have no control over it. Situation goes like that. So that, and then when that happens, things will go into problems. And that time, Krishna says, that is called Sarvarambha Parityagi. Sarvarambha Parityagi means that he will not start these kind of things because he knows very well the intricacies of that. Because suppose if you keep quiet, it's not going to go away. Even if you stay quiet, it will happen around you. It will happen around you. So, suppose a person has not done anything, it does not guarantee that everything will be peaceful around you. Everything will be peaceful around you. That is why, that is the activity of the Maya. Simultaneously, when you are trying to present Krishna consciousness, Maya is present there also with her agenda. She will also have her agenda. And Maya will present her agenda and drive the whole thing in a wrong way. And now you can see that how it happens. We talk about Ishkon because that's what we know about. But there are so many other institutions goes in the same. Not only in this, all other traditions as well. The same thing happens. Then everything, money becomes important. Buildings and properties becomes important, and spreading it all over the world is becoming important. As many buildings as possible in the world, all those things becomes the priority. Krishna consciousness goes away from there. There won't be any more Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. There will be more time attached to these things. That's what he's saying here. So, and there's no solution to that problem. If you ask a question, what should we do? You can't do anything about it. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. So, that is Maya's world and there is no answer to that question. So, Sarvarambha Parityagi means that he will not involve himself into it. It's happening with Amritananda Maya's mission. There is so much complaint about that. What's going on there? She keeps out of it and stays away beyond than that. You can't do anything about it. They know very well. There's nothing can be done about it. Institution builds up, it will go in one some particular. It's not that she wanted it that way. But when a lot of people come, they start bringing facility, money starts coming. And naturally, those people, personalities who are around them, they are all not in agreement with everything. And then somebody wants to be the controller. Somebody wants to be in charge of the funds or in charge of the estate or properties or whatever it is, and then what do they say? They have to write down the. They were asking her to prepare all the what do they call it? The will. Yeah. Well, who should manage the property? These sannyasis are doing this. Imagine that. So that is the world. There's nothing you can do about it. It's the way the world is. There's nothing you can do about it. But intelligence says this, they won't get involved. They will continue doing. That is what is called Sarvarambha Parityagi. they won't do it on their own. Others may do it around them, but they won't get involved. They keep out of it. Many times people have asked her this question about it. And she answered very wisely, I have nothing to do with it, she said. That will go on its own way, she said. My concern is something different. So, not only in her case, in every other great spiritual leader, if you look into their life, you will see that the same thing has happened. That money comes, wealth comes, many spiritual institutions, especially when there's a lot of suffering in the world, all spiritual institutions get richer. That's when people become more Krishna conscious, isn't it? When there is more misery in the life. And then they want to help the spiritual activities, and then the money comes, and then all these sorts of things happen there. So there, even there in such situations, devotee Krishna is saying he will not be affected by that. He won't get involved in that. Krishna is saying, Yomal Bhakta Same Priya, such a person is very dear to me. You see how Krishna is saying that? Anapekshasu jer daksha udasino gadavyataha sarvarambha parityagi yomal bhakta same priyaha. Such a devotee, Krishna is saying, is very dear to me. In other words, devotees doesn't have much to do with this world. It's wrong to think, because we think that this world is so important and is changing this world and all ideas in our head. That's why when things don't happen, ragadvesham comes from there and we get disturbed over that. Isn't it? Udasino gadavyaha. Sarvarambha parityagi. How does it define? Okay. Udasino yadi gadavyado gadabhayaha. Udasino, Krishna says there, that udasino gadavyatha. Gadavyatha means one who has no fear about that, because he doesn't take sides in anything. Normally, when there is a lot of wealth and other material opulences in the institution, there will always be faction also. Groupism will come there. One group working in one way, one group pulling in another way. One guru's disciples will say, this is our temple. Another guru's disciples will say, this is our temple. Then there will be always problems between the groups also. All these things are every time happening. So, but in those situations also, not disturbed over that, gadavyadha. Bhajede yasa udasino yadi gadavyado gadabhaya. Sarvarambha parityagi. Arabhyande idi arambha. Ihamutra bhalabhogarthani. Kama hedu nikarmani. Sarvarambha tan parityektum shilam. Asya idi sarvarambha parityagi. Yo malbhakta same priyaha. Krishna is saying here, not only that in this world, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, it was based on the understanding that karma, if you look into the karmakandam aspect, that you engage in karma in such a way that even after leaving this body, you go to the heavenly planets, and to enjoy life there, isn't it? In the third chapter, it is discussed there. Krishna is saying, not only... the results of the activities of his karmam in this world, even the expectations of receiving the benefit of the karmam from the world after death, he gives up. That is a devotee, Krishna is saying. Imagine that. A devotee, Krishna calls him a devotee, one who is not expecting any results from this world of his activities. But sometimes devotees think like this, that if I do a lot of good things in this world, even if I don't go back to spiritual world, at least I'll go to the higher planets. People inquire about higher planets always, isn't it? What's the facilities there? How to enjoy life there? Okay. So let me do good things here, because this is the mind working. Mind is telling us that if you do some good things in this world, after leaving this body, you'll go to the higher planets and have some, it should be a good life there. Krishna is saying here, real devotee, he has no desire about this world, anything about happiness is concerned, nor is he making any plans for happiness in the heavenly planets either. That is the state of renunciation of a devotee. This is the quality of a devotee. Though that is what I say, sarvarambha parityagi arabhyande idi arambaha ihamutra bhalabhogarthani kamaheduni karmani sarvarambha tan parityaktum shilam asya idi sarvarambha parityagi yo malbhakta same priyaha. That devotee is very, very dear to me. And saying that, kimcha, not only that, that's the next verse. Yonam hrishyati na dveshti. Na shochati na kamkshati. Shubha shubha parityagi. Bhaktimanya same priyaha. Yonam hrishyati na dveshti. Na shochati na kamkshati. Shubha shubha parityagi. Yomal bhakta same priyaha. Okay. Yonam yona hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kankshati shubha ashubham parityagi bhaktimam ya same priyaha. Krishna says, one who neither grasps pleasure or grief, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, is very dear to me. When we read all these verses, it's worthwhile looking into ourselves, isn't it? How we are. That how we get, how easily affected by little things in this world. Is it not? And the problem is, Krishna says, Yona hrishyati na dveshti na shochati na kankshati shubha ashubha parityagi bhakti manya same priyaha. So here, yona hrishyati ishta praptau na dveshti anishta praptau. Ishta prapti means something happens what you like, something what you like in your inside, something you like it happen. Say something you try to do in this world, it went very well and the results was good and you feel happy about it. Ishta prapti. That's called ishta prapti. Yo na hrishyati ishta prapti. When ishta prapti comes, when something happens what you like and then feeling happy about it. Na dveshti anishta prapto. Similarly, you did something thinking that will work out well but didn't work out well. Everything went wrong. And anishta prapti. That's called anishta prapti. That time, no dvesham. Getting upset over it and dvesham developing from inside. Na shochati priya priya apriya vyoge. Something what you like and then feeling you lost it. You had something what you like or someone whom you loved so much, who was with you all along your life and suddenly separation happened between that person and yourself. Priyam has gone from that. Or somebody with whom you had a difficult time in this world and it became very serious, apriyam has happened. Apriyam means that the relationship has gone very sour and it has caused a lot of dvesham inside or hate inside or ill feeling or strong repulsive nature inside. All those are the symptoms of that. So dvesham or ragam, in other words, na shojati priya priya apriya viyoge na cha apraptam kamkshati. Also, what cannot be desiring things. Remember this verse, na shochati na kamkshati. Later on, Krishna mentions that. Remember in the 18th chapter also. Brahmabhuta prasanna alma na shochati na kamkshati. So, a Brahman realized devotee person also will have the same quality. Here, Krishna is saying a devotee also will have the same quality. You see that? Spiritually, spiritual qualities are same for everybody. Whether you are a jnani or a yogi or a karma yogi or a bhakta or a pure devotee, whatever it is, the qualifications of that person is the same. It's not different. Not that devotee will always be. We create a feeling like that. Oh, devotees are. Oh, we are devotee. We don't behave like. They are very dry speculators. They don't know anything about it. They are jnanis. We are not like that. We are devotees, so we enjoy everything life. It's all Krishna's property. This is a misunderstanding. No. No devotee or a jnani. Because what it is all these great souls, when they have realized the truth, they saw it was only a process. This jnanam, bhakti, yogam, karmam and all was only a process for them. Once they have reached a realized state, freedom from the body, when they have identified with the soul and self-realization has happened inside, the first thing, that is why Krishna covered here only the qualities of the person. Never mentioned about anything else except the symptoms of such a person. And in the 18th chapter, Krishna is saying, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati. One who is on the Brahma Bhuta platform, Brahman realized his stage, he also is no hankering, no lamentation. And here, a devotee also, Krishna is saying, Na Shochati Na Kankshati. So where is the difference? How can you say a jnani who is Brahman realized and a devotee who is bhakti, devotee who is a pure devotee, how can you say they are different? A jnani is a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a jnani. They are not different. It is our mind, this complex mind, that's what causes the problem. We want everything in boxes, isn't it? Only then we like it. We classify everybody, even devotees we classify in 10-12 categories. We love it to put it like that. It has nothing to do with all these things. Krishna is saying, if there is no nashojani na kamshadi, he is a jnani, he is a devotee as well, both. That's why same thing Krishna is repeating there and here also. Nashojani na kamshadi. So, yo na hrishyadi ishta praptau, na dveshti anishta praptau. Na shojadi priya apriya viyoge, na ja apraptam kankshadi. Na ja apraptam kankshadi means that what is not in his control, he is not making any desire for such things. What is not coming in a natural way to him, he is not making plans to have it. In other words, some people you can see that they make plans all the time for many, many years ahead, isn't it? They especially in the early days in life, people have a lot of plans to get on top of it, they say. So that kind of mind is not for a devotee. Devotee is satisfied with his life in the simple way. But therefore, apraptam kankshati. And sometimes they make such plans which is not practical, which never be reached. So that's why he stops there. Shubha shubhe karmani parityaktum shilam. In other words, something good will come, sometimes bad will come in life. Shubham ashubham. Whatever happens there, shubha shubhe karmani parityaktum shilam. That he is able to stay away from that, and without know whether if it is going to cause problems, whether it is auspicious or inauspicious activity, he will give it up. He won't keep it. Ashilam asya idi shubha ashubha phalatyagi bhakti manya same priya. Because such a person, Krishna says, he's a devotee and he is very dear to me. He is very dear to me. Krishna is saying like that. So, yona krishyadi na dveshti na shojadi na kamshadi shubha shubha parityagi bhakti manya same priya. So, saying that, we will now stop for a minute and then we'll continue after. We'd like to finish this chapter if possible today. So, yona krishyadi na dveshti na shojadi na kamshadi shubha ashubha parityagi bhakti manya same priya. So, it's the same thing what Krishna has spoken before. He says here that not particularly happy about, feeling very excited about anything, nor he hates anything if something goes wrong. Suppose something happened, what should not have happened? Na shochati. Never laments about that. It has happened like this, what shall I do? Oh, it has come to me. And whatever happens, let it happen in that way. That is Krishna's plan in that way. That's Krishna's desire that it has happened in that way. All these things are spoken to see the symptoms of a devotee. So here, the idea is to know that where we stand when things happen in life. That's the idea behind it. To know where we stand in all these things. No expectations, na kankshati, na kankshati. That's the way it is. That means he is not particular, it should be like this. Suppose sometimes things happen and we feel, it should not have happened that way, it should have happened in this way. He is not too bothered about that. That's why. No expectations, in other words. Shubha, ashubha parityagi. And why does that happen like that? Because false ego has gone from inside. That is the proof of that devotee. Why are we particular that things should happen in a particular way? Because the false ego wants it that way, isn't it? When the false ego goes away, whatever happens in this world, we won't be particular about that. You know, we have to look into ourselves and see this. How subtle that false ego is operating in different levels. Such false ego says that we are very particular about anything, some things happen in some particular way, or some particular result must come. If it doesn't come, then we feel upset about that. All that is due to false ego. Krishna is saying, once the false ego leaves, then you won't be too concerned about it. What happens? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't matter. Or if it happens, whichever way it happens, that's also Krishna's way. That is. And that relaxed state will come when the false ego goes. This is the proof of that. That is a devotee. Krishna is saying, that's a devotee. Devotee is like that. For him, there is no pious activity, sinful activity. All those things go away. Because the difference is, pious activity is a golden chain and the sinful activity is a steel chain or iron chain. That's the only difference. Both are chain at the end. In fact, on the other hand, the golden chain is more difficult to leave than the steel chain, isn't it? Golden chain is more difficult to leave than the steel chain. So at least steel chain you will say, let me leave it like that. But gold chain, you may like to keep it. You won't be able to get free yourself from that. It will bind you. So Krishna is saying here, Shubham Ashubha Parityagi. Shubha Ashubham Parityagi. In other words, what is Shubha Ashubha Parityagi means? He has left both. In an auspicious thing or inauspicious things, what comes from life, he has left both. It doesn't affect him anymore. For him, there is neither nothing is auspicious, nothing is inauspicious. For him. For a devotee, nothing is auspicious and nothing is inauspicious. That's a devotee, Krishna says. Shubha Ashubha Parityagi Bhakti Manya Same Priyaha. So, in other words, what he has done is, he has offered both to Krishna. Whether good things comes, it's also yours creation. Bad things comes also, says it's you who is behind it. In that way, surrendered everything to him. So, from then on, through him, forbidden activities will not happen through that person. Forbidden activities will not happen through that person. If you look into Narayaniyam, there is a verse about that. What it says is, Melpathur says to Krishna, Vedai Sarvani Karmani. Vedam has given a framework or a code within which we should live in this world. That's Vedam. Vedam does that, isn't it? Vedam, what Vedam does to the human society is, it gives you a framework within which we should live in this world. So all the karma we perform here should be under the Vedic injunctions. Vedai Sarvani Karmani, they should be executed under Vedic injunctions. Abhala Bharadaya, without expectation of any results from that. Varnidani Idi Buddhva Thani Toyarpidani. If results are coming from based on that Vedic injunctions, whatever karma we do in this world, whatever results from them, that Thani Toyarpidani, everything offered to Krishna. Everything offered to Krishna. Samanucharan Yani Naishkarma Mishe. I should be able to live in this world, Anucharan Yani Naishkarma Mishe, in that Naishkarmyam state. That means karma is coming through me, it is happening through me. In that way, untouched by karma, without creating any fresh vasanas inside, I should escape from the karma. Melpathur said this to Krishna. Krishna asked him that question at that time. If it is like that, what about those karma that has not fallen into the Vedic category? Because sometimes it can happen like that also, isn't it? All the karma what we do, because we are not living in a Vedic society now, today, first of all. This has happened 500 years ago, Narayaniyam wrote. At that time, it was still a lot better than today. Many people did follow Vedic injunctions. Mainly the society was organized based on the Varnam and Ashramam. So he said to them, Medvedev replied him, say that, suppose you go and did something wrong. Nishiddham. Nishiddham means forbidden thing, karma. Some forbidden karma, you have gone and done it. What should I do? Ma budhver dvair nishiddher kuhajid abhimanam karma vajam pravartir. Tolvarjam ched avaptam tadabigalubaye tolpaye chilprakashe. Then Krishna has a one aspect. One is, he has, in the temple, for example, if you take, you can offer certain things to Krishna, isn't it? Like, you make certain offering to Krishna. Prasadam, you cook, offer to Krishna. Nice things you can offer to Krishna. But you can't offer so many other things in this world to Krishna. There are many things, because that is a process in the deity worship. There's a process to follow. That means you have to live within that code, what is allowed and what's not allowed. It's applicable there. But Krishna's other aspect, Brahman. Brahman can accept anything. That's what it says there. Ma bhudvair dvair nishiddher kohachid abhimanam. If the mind has concocted something and created some karmam in this world and some results have come from that, what should I do? Kuhachid abhimanam karma vajam pravrtir durvarjam. What happened to me? I got involved in that without proper discrimination. I got involved in some ugra karmam, in other words. And the result of that was, I could not give it up. I did that karmam. But what should I do then? Durvarjam chedavaptam tadabhikalubhavai turpaye chilprakashe. I can offer that to any purpose for which is Krishna's Brahman aspect. That means, in some way, that money should be, or the results that has come from that karmam, should be offered to Krishna. But it is not offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that aspect, but to the Brahman aspect. Brahman can take anything. To Brahman, there is no rules as far as offering is concerned. Krishna as a person, when you offer, there are restrictions. That's why these two things go side by side. That means, whenever there is a, while worshipping deity, for example, particularly, there is restrictions, isn't it? So many restrictions. Proper deity worship, when you execute, there are so many restrictions. You can't offer everything. But when something happened because you have fell out of step from the regulations, and something happened in life that ma budhver dvir nishiddher, it's not done intentionally. It was done because buddhi, intelligence, did not make the right decision. You went and fell into that trap. Do you know what I'm saying, isn't it? That it's not that it always happens. It happens to many instances it can happen. Ma budhver dvir nishiddher kuhachid api manam karma vajam pravartya. Somehow or the other, my actions, my mind, my intelligence got involved in something which is forbidden. I got involved in something which is forbidden. Durvarjam chedavaptam tadabhi ghalu bhavet arpaye chilprakashe. There is only one thing what you can do. Give that results to Krishna, what has come from that. And that is not to Krishna. The aspect is known as Brahman at that time. Brahman takes it. Brahman can take anything. Brahman doesn't get affected by that. It is the principle behind it that is important. So, saying that, mentions here, Shubha Shubha Parityagi, he says here, whatever that has happened, given to Krishna and forget it, leave it behind. Even if it has happened the wrong way, it happened in the karma. That's the escape route from that. If something is, these are for people who are in a very cultured level. Ordinary people don't think like that, do they? Ordinary people think, get everything what you can in life. But these are meant for people who are spiritually absorbed, but sometimes mistakes can happen in their life also. So many instances it can happen. Things can go in the wrong way. And if they feel that something has happened in their life, they did something wrong, and due to that some results have come from that. In such a situation, it should be offered to Krishna, and that is the answer to that, to the Brahman aspect of it. So, Shubha Ashubha, that is that word is saying, Shubha Ashubha Parityagi. Not only that, he is not particular that Shubham. Shubha means auspicious things should come. Inauspicious things also can come. And he never thinks like that, in my life I should only have happiness. He is not particular about that. He is not particular about that. Because he knows that it is not possible. If you say that I should only have happiness in life, that's not possible. If you want happiness, you should be willing to accept distress also. But if you say you don't want happiness and distress, that will work. But the moment you say, I want only happiness in life, the distress will come. It has to come. That is the deal with the material nature. That is the agreement. Shubhashubha Parityagi Bhaktimanya Samepriya. That is all what that verse is saying. And that is why such a devotee, Krishna is saying, is very dear to me. Next verse. Samau Shatrauja Mitrejam. Tathamana Pamanayoho. Shitoshna Sukadukheshu. Samasanga Vivarjidaha. Sama Shatrauja Mitrejam. Tathamana Pamanayoho. Shitoshna Sukadukheshu. Samasanga Vivarjitaha. Tulya Nindastu Dirmauni. Sandushto Yena Kenachit. Aniketa Stiramatir. Bhaktimanme Priyonaraha. Tulya Nindastu Dirmauni. Sandushto Yena Kenachit. Aniketa Stiramatir. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha. Sama shatrau cha mitre cha. Tadha manam anam abhamanayoho. Shitam ushnam sukham dukheshu. Samaha sanga vivarjidaha. First verse. Then tulyaha ninda studi. Mauni. Santushto yena kena chitta. Aniketaha stiramati. Bhaktiman me priyo naraha. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equiposed in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contamination, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and engaged in devotional service, is very dear to me. Krishna says there, isn't it? So, there, I think Prabhupada mentions this. If you look into the purport of those verses at the last sentence, of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications. But engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. So, in other words, by effort you can't develop. If in spiritual life, if you live the spiritual life, these qualifications will come to him by Krishna's mercy, and then you will know that these qualifications are happening. So, sama shatrauja mitreja, he cannot have a friend or an enemy, because if he has a friend or enemy, means what? Ragam and dvesham is there inside. But some other people may take you as a friend or enemy, that you can't do anything about it. You can say that you may not create any friend or enemy, but somebody else may take you as a friend or an enemy. So, that is where Krishna mentions there, sama shatrauja mitreja tadha manapamanayo. So, whether somebody respects you or praises you or insults you, avamanayo, and he knows very well, it's all with respect to the body. Whom are you praising and whom are you offending? It's the body, isn't it? Body, false ego, mind, these are... Soul, we don't talk soul to soul, do we? Soul doesn't talk to another soul. It's all based on the body. So, sama shatrauja mitreja tadha manapamanayo. Because he knows that very well, so it is all done for the body, not for me. Not for me. So, somebody may give you, put a garland on you and worship you, or somebody may take a big stick and beat you up. In either way, it's both happening to the body. Tadha manapamanayo. So, one who has understood that I am not this body, for him, whatever is happening to the body, he has no connection with that, isn't it? Suppose he knows that it's all being done to the body, he will have no connection with that. When the devotee's case, what Krishna is saying here, little by little, when these experiences coming to us, these experiences are coming to us, and so that you can experience that and you start realizing that self-realization is happening within me. When avamanam manam, that means praise and insult, when it happens, if you are not getting disturbed, that you are able to see that it is being done to the body, not to me, that means you are breaking up from the body. That's the idea behind it, to tell us that point. Then, so, and if you keep remembering these things, what these verses are saying, possibly it may help us at the time when we are offended or when we are praised by somebody. That's the idea behind it. Not to take it and start using it as on others to see that how far he is advanced. No, for our own understanding of where we stand, because you will know these things only when you felt offended or you felt insulted. At that time, or praised for that matter, at that time if you see inside, if the mind is moving, then you can take it that you haven't reached that state yet. Sama shatrauja mitreja tadha manapamaneyo. That's what it is. So, actually these are meant for people who have become perfection, siddhi. Those who got siddhis, that is their symptoms, isn't it? But those symptoms are our sadhana actually. For us it is for sadhana. Sadhana means to try them out in life, what happened. That's our sadhana. Sadhana is not only just chanting the holy name. This is all bhakti sadhana it is. That means testing it out in our daily life. That is a sadhana. To check it out how things are happening within me. Is it causing a vibration in me? Is it causing a movement inside my mind when somebody says something good about me or something bad about me? In both cases, it's a beauty to look at inside and see how it is impacting on us. How it's impacting on us. So Shatru Mitram, Krishna says there, isn't it? Both impact of the enemy and the friend. What's the impact of that? And then, if it is not causing any impact inside, you can say like this. So, for example, suppose you see a friend, you feel happy inside. And if you see an enemy, enemy means you have some uneasy relationship with somebody. And if you see him, if it's causing disturbance inside, that means you are not making progress in the spiritual life. That's what it means. Sama Shatra. So that's the way only you can verify this. How far your own spiritual life is responding to Krishna's instructions. At the end of this chapter, Krishna will say this. We'll come to that later. That Krishna says there that Sama Shatra, why all these things mentioned? What impact it has on you is more important. Not what you have thought about others. What impact it has on you is more important. Whether a friend or enemy who came through in front of you, and has it created any disturbances inside or any good vibration or bad vibration inside, that is the way to look at it and see how that is created. So, if there is no happiness or distress, then you are a devotee, Krishna is saying. That tatha manava manayo. Similarly, when somebody praises you or offends you, also not disturbed over that. Similarly, happiness and heat and cold, happiness and distress, because they are not in our hands. Heat and cold is not in our hands. Because in Prakriti, material nature, heat and cold will come, that you can't change it. What can we do? Krishna says, tolerate it. There's nothing more can be said. Similarly, happiness and distress also. Just like seasons are changing, isn't it? So, similarly, happiness and distress will come according to your prarabdham. According to the prarabdham, it will come. And if you want to sit there, if you want to stay there, thinking that I'll stay happy in life, at that moment suddenly some distress will come from somewhere. Or distress can come. And what happens is when happiness comes, we will jump up and down saying that everything is wonderful. And we'll say, oh, life is like that, wonderful. I'm having a great time, we say, isn't it? So, then suddenly while sitting like that from the bottom of the chair, the bomb will blast. Something else will happen in life. Then you will say, the next thing you'll say, I'm fed up of my life. Everything is so miserable. The whole thing switches from one side to one thing to another. In Hindi, they have a lot of nice saying like that. They'll say, Jeevan mein ka saar hai. In other words, what they're saying, what meaning life has got. Kya saar hai? Jeevan mein kuch saar nahi hai, they say. And there's a song about that they've written. You know, the film people, they write all these kinds of things. In the Bollywood movies, they make all these statements there. They'll make you impression that you have no right to live in this world because these things have gone so bad in life. So, when the distress comes, they write poems like that. And when happiness comes, say, life is for enjoyment. Why you go and waste your time hearing Bhagavad Gita? They'll say like that also. Life is for enjoyment. Why waste time hearing this Bhagavad Gita? What are you going to get from that? They'll say. So you can see all these things in our own regular life, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that samo shatroja mitraja tadha manobhamanayo shitoshnaha sukha dukheshu sama sangha vivarjita. Sangha vivarjita means that he does not keep any sangam with all these things. We say we want more sangam, isn't it? Krishna says no sangam. We want to increase the sangha. Krishna says no sangha. Sangha is bad, he says. Sangam will only cause problems. Sama sangha vivarjita oho. That sangam here is called, is referring to the material nature. So, shidoshna sugadukaha. Normally you can see this in our own life also. When we can see that when it is getting very cold, we have concerned about heating, air conditioning, everything, isn't it? Up to a limit, yes, sometimes to survive in this world, we may have to maintain it. But as much as this modern facilities increases, you can see at one time in India, there was no thing called air conditioners. Even fans were not there. But now you go so many places, people say, oh, I can't live without AC, they say. Why has it happened like that? So when you think about it, you can see that how much they have bhakti has gone away. This is what it is. When there is bhakti in the heart, then these things will be tolerated. Because bhakti has gone, therefore all this has become a necessity. And we think that we are making progress. Progress in the wrong direction. That's all it is. That everything has become a necessity for us. Shitoshna sugadukhada. So in other words, that our cleverness, what we do, that cleverness we try to bring into our spiritual life also. And it is a kind of our freedom we feel has been taken away. Practically, for a devotee, there is no freedom. Freedom is, what freedom we have is in surrendering to Krishna. That's the freedom Krishna has given to us. So normally a devotee, he will tolerate it and he will live in that way. So, always to know this, he says a devotee should know that happiness and distress is not in his hands. At least if that much he accepts, it solves a lot of problem. It's not in our hands. So, little bit of effort, what is necessary to solve the distress is okay. But to go all the way out, you cannot do anything about it. Therefore, Krishna says here that harsham amarsham, what comes from that happiness and distress, leave it behind. And when your happiness comes, don't jump up and down too much. And when distress comes, don't cry unnecessarily. Both are not for the devotee, Krishna is saying here. Sukham, happiness itself is a distress. Happiness itself is a distress. And sometimes distress can turn into happiness also. That only if you analyze the mind well, because happiness and distress, who is experiencing? The mind is experiencing. The soul has nothing to do with the happiness or distress. We misunderstand, due to misidentification with the body and the mind, we think that, oh, I am suffering, I am enjoying. I am not suffering, I am not enjoying either. The mind is experiencing some pleasures and pains of this body and the senses. That's where it is coming from. So we can see here that if you look into the old Hindi movies and Tamil movies and all that, because they produce more movies than anywhere else in the world, you will see all the movies in the olden days, they will end up with a marriage and everything happy after that. All the old movies, if you look, say some 40, 50 years ago, if you look at the old movies, Bollywood movies and the Tamil movies, both of them, they used to do the same thing. They will produce movies in such a way that those days there was no television or anything. People go and watch, thousands of people will go into theater. Every theater was full, packed, difficult to get tickets even those days. And because television wasn't there. And all those movies, the final conclusion will be ending up with marriage and everything, life, be happy after that. So, similarly, And then, after that, what happened? That you can't show anymore. Can't be shown on the movie because it's all fighting, quarreling after that happens from there. So, that's what he says here. Everything, Shubha, Shubha Varityagi, happiness will come, will be followed by distress. But movies want to show only the happiness part of it. The distress part of it, they don't want to show. They want to keep that behind because then people won't come to watch the movie. Therefore, so all the experiences in this world, Krishna is saying here, none of them are completely happy, none of them are completely distressed either. It's all mixed in all situations, isn't it? So, you can't put a sticker to that saying, oh, everything is happy or everything is distress at the end. Happiness will be there, distress will be there. Krishna is saying here, what did Krishna say there in that verse? He says, Krishna says here, that samau shatrauja mitreja tadha manopamanayoho shidoshna sukadukheshu sama sangha vivarjidaha. The devotee, he says, what he does is, he gives up the connection, attachment to anything. Sangha vivarjidam. That is the way devotee handles the situation. Devotee should be like that, Krishna says. Samam shatrauja mitreja tadha manabamanayo shidoshna sukhadukheshu sama sangha vivarjidaha. Samatvam, that balance inside. By how does he get the balance? Sangha vivarjidaha. He won't allow that to get inside. Happiness comes, yes, let it come go. Distress comes, yes, let it come go. Nothing will get inside. That is that Sangha Vivarjita. Sangha Vivarjita means not allowing anything to go inside and create problems there. Whereas mostly people, what do? They get inside and then they start remedial action straight away. If a lot of happiness comes, you want a party straight away. Isn't it? Something went well, very well in life, you want a party. All friends, get them all together and a big bash, isn't it? And spend a lot of money, enjoy it. That's not devotee. Similarly, something went very wrong seriously in life. Relationship broke down, financially got into problems, not disturbed over that. That is devotee. That is devotee. You see how Krishna sees a devotee? Krishna's way of looking at devotees is like this. Sama shatrauja mitreja tadha mana. If these things are happening, Krishna says, you are becoming a devotee. That's the proof. Sama shatrauja mitreja tadha mana abhamanayo shidoshna sukha dukkheshu sama sangha vivarjidaha. Tulya ninda studi mauni santushto yena kenachin anigeda siramadir bhakti manma priyo nara. Krishna says, such a devotee is very dear to me. So, we must not misunderstand about Krishna's understanding of devotees. We, in our own way, think about various things. Like that, we misunderstand many things at that time. So, sama sangha vivarjidaha. So, through the knowledge of the self, you have to break your attachment to the world. That's what he is saying. Sama shatrauja mitreja tadha manava manayo. So how will you do that sangha vivarjidam? Sama sangha vivarjida. How will you become that samam? Through knowledge of the self it has to happen. Not otherwise. By knowing well that the self is not affected by any of these things. This happiness and distress or heat and cold or praise and insult and all those things. They are not happening to me. That means knowledge of the self. That's happening to the body. Knowing that, Krishna says, you should give up your attachment, connection with that. That is the way to escape. Not by tolerating of, it's very cold, I'm a devotee, it's too cold, but still I'm a devotee, so it's cold. Not thinking like that. You have to first break away from the body and come out. And start thinking that it's happening to the body, it's happening to the mind. And insult or praise or insult or happiness or distress or heat and cold. In other words, Krishna says if you do that, what will happen is this balanced state, no movement inside for the mind will happen then. That's what that Krishna says. For the knowledge of the self, sangam has to go. Attachment has to go. Sama sangha vivarjita, Krishna says there, isn't it? So how do you do sangha vivarjitam? Sangha vivarjita means breaking up that sangam connection. And that, keeping that balance inside, That's possible through the knowledge of the soul. That's what Krishna is saying. So, if you want a proof for that, how is it possible? Proof is there. What is the proof? When you go into deep sleep state, is there happiness and distress? When you are in deep sleep state, where is the happiness, where is the distress? So, it is possible. That's the proof of that. So, actually what in deep sleep is, you are experiencing the blissful nature of the soul, isn't it? Sushupti state, we keep saying it is happiness. Actually, it's not the happiness, it's the happiness of the soul that is coming there. But material happiness is when you get something, you feel happy. And everybody knows that in the deep sleep state, when the mind gets dissolved completely at that time, that happiness, that is not something that you got it by getting something, isn't it? In the deep sleep state, whatever happiness you are feeling, experiencing there, is not something you get from this world, isn't it? In the world, you get something, you feel happy. You lose something, you feel depressed. So, that is not a similar happiness, is not what you are experiencing in the deep sleep. So, that is the proof to show to us that that state exists. And there is no happiness or distress. And that is the state of consciousness of a devotee. That what is experiencing in the deep sleep, where there is no happiness or distress, if you get that state in your wakened state, you are a devotee, Krishna is saying. It's all very scientific. Nothing is just instructions Krishna giving like that. Krishna has put us in this state through Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, three states and three modes of material nature. And when we go to deep sleep state, we see there is happiness and different kind of happiness, not based on the senses, mind, but it's there. And we didn't get anything. On the other hand, we lost everything and we felt happy. That is, in that way, in similar situation happens in our vacant state, Krishna says, you are a devotee then. Then you are a devotee. But how many times it happens in that way? We forget all these things. We keep reading Bhagavad Gita, but when it comes to the crisis, we never think about Bhagavad Gita at that time. We say, oh well, I got this problem, I have to sort that out first. That's what we'll say. And then I'll go back and look at Bhagavad Gita if it is all correct or not. That's no use. Bhagavad Gita, spiritual realization has to happen now at this point. It's not for yesterday, it's not for the future. Spiritual life is always in the present. We talked about that before. Mind, it is the mind that does past and future, not the spiritual life. Spiritual life is right now here. Whenever, every moment when he lives, when a person lives like that, that is living spiritual life. That means he is a devotee, Krishna is saying here. So, greatest happiness, Krishna is mentions there, that the, even on the, suppose you had a day when you had the greatest happiness. Suppose something happened, you won a lottery, 10 million or 20 million, something like that. You're so happy, I don't have to work the rest of the life. And you, sometimes people can't get sleep after that. When they win, there was some instance like that. Somewhere in Scotland, I think, there was a news that somebody won one of these Euro jackpots, a huge amount of money. And that couple, they were old people, and it was, there was a report in the BBC, naturally they get there first, isn't it, to find out what has happened to you. Now, they were asking questions to them, what are you going to do with the money, how will you live? So they were telling them, we'll give so much to our relatives, and we will go on this cruise and this, that, so many things they said. And that, then they're saying, the BBC reporter was leaving at that time, this couple, old couple, they were saying, we can't get sleep tonight. They were talking to each other. What could you do? So much money has come in one stroke in life. Not 1 million, 10 million, something like 100 million or something. And they were old couple as well. So first they made a list to whom how much they should give and everything. Still there is so much left. They couldn't do anything. And they couldn't, they thinking about that, they couldn't get sleep at night. Imagine that. So happiness also can bring you that problems. Similarly, distress also can bring you those problems, isn't it? But if you go to deep sleep, suppose you get deep sleep at that time, all this happiness or the distress has no entrance there. No entrance in the deep sleep state. That is what it is saying here. That avastha, that state, one should reflect constantly. That this is the reality. The truth is like this. That no happiness and distress from the material world cannot enter into your sushupti state, in the deep sleep state. There you are on your own, completely released from the influence of the body, influence on the mind, influence of this world. That is the deep sleep state. So that is why Upanishads discuss that Sushrupti state in depth for this reason only. So say for example, one day you were very terribly distressed. Somebody who is very close to you died and left this world. And such a distress has come. And for 1 or 2 days, you couldn't even sleep, thinking about the future, thinking of what's going to happen. And so many things can happen in people's life all the time, isn't it? So, but after a lot of distress like that, suddenly you fell into deep sleep state. Because you are tired, you fell necessary to sleep. And then you realized it when you wake up after deep sleep. In the deep sleep state, where was that separation? What happened to that? Where was my distress, what I was experiencing? If you analyze it that way, you will start giving more importance to Sushupti, the deep sleep state. Because that is that state what we want to bring to awakened state. Where, and that is what Krishna says, you are a devotee. If you have that state in the awakened state. So there is something, some fulfillment in that deep sleep state, isn't it? That is not in the happiness what you get from this world. Happiness in this world is that you enjoy it sometime, then you say you had enough of it. You had enough of it. Suppose we had a huge plate of laddu, 100 laddus in front of you, and says, have as much as you want. Then you say, no, I had few laddus. And he says, no, you have more. And if somebody pushes you to eat 30, 40 laddus or something, then you went out and you came back. And you say, so there's more laddu left, why don't you finish it? If somebody tells you, what will you say? You will say, I don't want the laddu, I want some khichdi, you will say. So that is the way the sukham of this world is. Everything is like that, isn't it? None of them will give you a total satisfaction. You'll enjoy it sometime, but then you want to escape from that at this end. So Krishna says here that sukham dukham, if it crosses the boundary, then we will say, no, that's enough. I don't want anything more than that. If you have taken notice of that, you will see this. So sukham and happiness, and similarly the distress also, when it comes up to a boundary, you can live with that. But after that, you feel it very, very difficult. So sukham also, happiness also, if it crosses the boundary, it becomes distress. Isn't it? It becomes a distress sometimes. So, this crossing the boundary of happiness and distress is called dvandvam, duality. Duality is like that. Dvandvam we say, isn't it? Dvandvam is this. That it crosses its limit and then you want the other one. You want the other one. Suppose you have a lot of happiness, then suddenly you think that I wish I had a little distress so I can feel some normal. Or if I had a lot of distress, I want some happiness, so I feel normal. So a balanced state inside. So when it is upset, that is called duality, dvandvam, as it is mentioned here. So Sushupti state, what is happening is, this dvandvam goes away. That is what's happening in the Sushupti state. You know, dvandvam is a big problem, isn't it? It is in the Bhagavad Gita as well as the Bhagavatam, talks about dvandvam. So, therefore, that happiness, what you get in the Sushupti state, both have gone, dvandvam has gone. And whereas there is a fulfillment in the deep sleep state, but there is no fulfillment in the vacant state, in the happiness of the world, in the happiness of the world. Suppose you keep on getting a lot of happiness in this world, there is no perfection in this world. Purnada. Purnada means perfection. Purnatum won't be there. You won't feel complete yourself. You won't feel complete within yourself. You'll still think, I need more. Something is missing in life. And your attention will go into something, some other directions. So practically, the happiness of this world makes us a beggar. Makes us beggars. That means we are wandering around in this world with a pot, looking for more happiness in one way or the other. Whereas the blissful nature of the soul makes us complete, makes us perfect. No more desires build up after that. When you experience that state of Sushupti, the happiness that's coming in the Sushupti state, if that is experienced in the vacant state, desires goes away. No more desires build up anymore within. On the other hand, the happiness and distress of this world makes us more like a beggar. Wants to have more. That is the problem with that. Dehi, dehi, dehi. One more, one more, one more. And this even in spiritual life. Even in spiritual life. In this Chinmaya missions, Chinmayananda Swamiji, who founded Chinmaya mission, his spiritual master, Tapavana Swami, he used to live in Himalayas, spend all his life there. At the age of 25 or 26, after studying all the Shastram, got a very deep understanding. After that, he wanted to go home, left home and went away to Himalayas and spent all his time in Uttarakhand. While learned he was, many devotee people used to go to him to learn Upanishads and other Brahmasutra and other things from him. So, while living in Uttarakhand, there were many people. There are so many sannyasis in Uttarakhand. This is full of sannyasis, yogis, ashrams. It's a place for spiritual life, isn't it? Many people go there for spending the rest of their life there in spiritual activity. So, while Tapavana Swamiji was there, this Chinmayananda Swamiji was his disciple. He was a young man. And there were many other young boys who were staying with him and learning Upanishads and continuously engaged in Alpavijaram. Alpavijaram means this knowledge of the soul, discussing about that. And that was constantly going on. And there were other brahmacharis also. They were all brahmacharis who were living and learning from him. In one instance, what happened, Chinmayananda Swamiji writes about this, he himself says this, that one wealthy business person, I think it was a Marwadi, wealthy businessman, he often, you will see this, in Haridwar also you will notice, they will, when they have some special occasion, they will send a lot of prasadam to ashrams, different ashrams. Lot of nice vegetables and yogurt, butter, milk, cheese and sweets, everything in a taxi or in an auto rickshaw, they'll send it to some particular ashram which they like. Very often you will notice this in Haridwar and all that. Haridwar particularly this happens, in Hrishikesh also. Because they have a lot of money and they will have some special reasons for doing so. So, Tapavana Swamiji was living there with Chinmayananda in one ashram. And one business person, he sent one day a huge box of laddus to this ashram where he was. He had this few brahmacharis and Tapavana Swami is there. So when the box of laddus came, normally in the ashram you won't get laddus and all that. You'll get some chapatis, and if you are lucky, you will get a very simple sabji or some dal. That's it. Nothing more than that. Because if you eat so much big feast every day, what spiritual life can you have? You see, it's difficult, isn't it? So that was necessary. Then you won't find big feast every day in every ashram. They live very, very simple and very austere life. So every day they have the same chapati, three or four chapatis if they get their concern. Not even milk, that too also is a, what do you call it, it's a luxury. Even a milk is luxury. Normally what they'll get is some sabji, samji or dal and some chapati. That's it. And you can drink water from Ganga River as much as you want. That's allowed. So this is the situation in the ashram. Most of the ashrams are like that. But now and then this will happen. Somebody may send something. Some lot of sweets or lot of laddus or something like that. So one day it so happened, a huge box of laddus came. And when the laddus arrived there, Tapavana Swami told them, put that laddus underneath my bed, he said. So here the bed, and underneath there was a gap there, you put that in there, he said. Because Tapavana Swami knew them well, how attached they are. They are looking for that gratification inside. Young age wants to eat something very nicely, and desire is there very strongly inside. So kept them underneath the thing. So they thought that, what kind of Swamiji is this, keeping everything to himself, they thought first. Chinmayananda says this later. If you read his biography, you will see this. He says, he kept everything to himself. So we thought maybe he will give us something at the prasadam time. Prasadam time came, he didn't say anything about it. And the normal same chapati and dal, that's all given at the time. When the prasadam time came there. So they started talking to each other. This is no good. this laddu is sitting inside, and we are here satisfying with this chapati and simple thing. They couldn't bear it anymore. So Chimayananda says there, 2-3 days they waited, and when they didn't get it, they left the ashram and went away. He says, Chinmayananda says, I was also going to go, he says, because I thought that he's not giving us anything. Then one day I went and checked, he says, still there or there. Because this is how spiritual master-disciple relationship all can change at that time. You shouldn't think it's all, everybody is thinking all the time, oh, it's the guru, I'm the disciple. When it comes to prasadam, even that can change. Often you will hear this also, disciples keeping an eye what the spiritual master is having for his prasadam and giving me all the remnants or whatever. So anyway, this happened that then Tapavana Swamiji understood the situation. He told Chinmayananda, take this whole box, take it to the Ganga river and throw it in the river, he said. Chinmayananda could not understand this, the logic behind it. He says, we didn't ask for it. They gave it to us, so we took it. What's wrong in it? This was his man. You know what Tapavana Swami said? He has got the prarabdham to give it to you, but we don't have the prarabdham to take it, he said. This was his answer. This is spiritual life. He has got the prarabdham to come and give it to us, all these things, but doesn't mean I have to take all these things. I don't want that prarabdham to take it on me, because he has given it to me. That's not a logic, he said. So Krishna is saying that the same thing in this principle is this, that anything if you accept from anybody, for that matter, that means you are obliged. Karma will follow from that. There is no undeniable thing that is. One has to be very conscious of that. You accept something, you have to give it in return something. Otherwise, you should not accept anything from anybody. And if you accept anything from anyone, you have to give something in return. That is the principle. That is what Krishna is saying here also. That you will see here that Tulya Ninda Sudhir Mauni Sandushto Yena Kena Chit Anigeda Siramadir Bhakti Manme Priyonara. So when he asked him he said, Tapavana Swamiji says to Chinmayananda that they have got the prarabdham to give it to us, but we don't have the prarabdham to eat it, to eat that, he said. We don't have the prarabdham to eat that. Take it away and throw it in the Ganges, he said. He was only trying to teach them a lesson that normally we have this feeling, oh, people are giving me, so let me take it, everything. There's nothing wrong. They're giving it to me. I'm not asking. He has given it to me. So let me have it. What's wrong in accepting that? That's the thing. That is also wrong. That's also wrong because it binds you. If you owe to them something, anything if you accept from anybody, you owe them something. If you haven't given it back anything, then it is a debt. It's a debt. That remains as a vasana inside. It will pop up sometimes and you have to settle that account. Because of all these accounts we had to settle, that's why we are here today. In different bodies, in different family environment. Because in several lifetimes, several accounts we have opened. And that all accounts have to be get closed. That's where it's coming from. So, that is our addiction. So, because we got used to laddu and we know laddu is tastier and at that time sometimes you want it. Therefore, we are imagining in ourselves that there is happiness in that laddu. So, because we have practiced it for many months or years, it has become our nature. And we also know that a lot of laddu goes inside, it could be a problem as well. Suppose you have got diabetes and you had eaten a lot of laddu, what will happen? You know what will happen, isn't it? So the after effect of all these things also is not necessarily the best. So whereas if you compare that happiness compared to the state in the sushupti, whatever that happens, it has no repercussions from that. Because that happiness, what you are experiencing in the sushupti state, is coming from the soul. It's not coming from the world. It's not coming from the body or the mind. That is why we have to be very, very clear that the happiness of the sushupti and the happiness of the vacant state in this world are two different things. You should not compare them, saying that they are one and the same. They are not one and the same. They are two different things. Happiness of the vacant state in this world causes problems. it will turn out to distress later, or it causes other obligations in this world. Happiness of the deep sleep, you have no obligations to anybody. This is because it's coming from you. From within yourself it's coming from. So therefore, you are not indebted to anybody. Indebted to anybody. And that happiness is not to be acquired. So that is what the important point Krishna mentions there. And then Krishna also says there that this Purnatvam, in the deep sleep state alone, that Purnatvam comes. When Purnatvam comes, that is our proper identity. The spiritual identity is Purnada and bliss, isn't it? Satta Chitta Anandam. Chit Shakti is the knowledge, Purnada, and Anandam is the bliss. Anandam is the bliss. And that's what in the Upanishad words, I call it as Tattvamasi. You are that. You are that. Your nature. Shariram or material body and the mind, without that, you are perfect. You are complete and perfect. Deep sleep, you don't have any of those experience. In other words, when you go lose your body, when you lose your mind, and when you lose your false ego, there is no personality in the deep sleep state. Is it not? There is no personality there. And we feel fulfilled, complete, perfection there. When you wake up, what happens? What happens to you is that, oh, I should not have woken up. That's not the first thing, isn't it? Because in that deep sleep state, you were felt so full and perfect that you didn't want to come back to this vacant state. And you feel that it would have been nice if you could go back to that state again, isn't it? Because all problems are solved there and all distress goes away from there. And this one point, that all our problems are solved in the deep sleep, all our distress goes away in the deep sleep, we have to do what is known as anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means, in the vacant state, if you continuously meditate on this principle, you will get to know that this vacant state is not the proper state to live, the way we are in the vacant state. It's not the proper state of existence. If we, through proper discrimination, through analysis and convincing ourselves that in the deep sleep state, if I receive that, get that in the vacant state, I am in the perfect state. Not otherwise. So this is called anusandhanam. Jnanis process this is. Jnanis do anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means they continuously analyze this and keep holding on to that understanding throughout their spiritual life. That's what they do. So all what we have to do now is that what we experience there is our swarupam. Not only that, actually, that's all what it exists. What was not there in the Sushupti states, they have no relevance. They are not truth. That means, in Sushupti state is what your real existence is, not in the Jagrat state. We are thinking in the vacant state is my real existence. No. Or my real existence is in the deep sleep state. In the Jagrat state or vacant state, what I have got is my false existence. Now, we are fully convinced that vacant state is my proper existence, isn't it? We are all thinking like that. Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita is telling us, no. Sushupti state is your real existence. Jagrat state is your false existence. That is the point for anusandhanam. Anusandhanam for follow-up. So because through knowledge, Sushupti, what happens? Everything gets dissolved, isn't it? In Jagrat state, what happens? In Sushupti state, everything gets dissolved. In Jagrat state, Jagrat means vacant state. If it has to happen, the knowledge is necessary. Knowledge is necessary. So, through knowledge, if you lose your body, what you have lost in your deep sleep state, and if you lose your mind, what you have lost in your deep sleep state, if through knowledge you lose it in your vacant state, you can have the Sushupti state in the vacant state. Do you get that? Through knowledge, if you lose your body and the mind, which you have lost in the deep sleep state, if through knowledge in the vacant state, if you lose it, then you will experience the same thing what you are experiencing in the deep sleep in the vacant state. That is the principle. which includes the false ego also. Because when you go into deep sleep, what all are you losing? You lose your body, you lose your mind, you lose your intelligence, you lose your false ego. All of them goes, isn't it? Same thing, all that four things will leave you through knowledge if it happens in the vacant state. Or, in other words, everything on the same level, everything in this world, all recognitions, all kinds of positions, all kinds of honor, dishonor, everything, if you take it like the way, if you know that it's all coming and going and is exactly similar to the same thing, that in Sushupti states happiness came, in the vacant state you lost it. In a similar way, and how you have lost it? In the same way, all these things what you have in this world, what you consider as important, they all leave you in the Sushupti state. It's also meant to come and go. They are not meant to stay. By analyzing all these things, what are we doing actually? We are seeing the reality, the truth. Truth is our pure existence, Nityam, Shuddham, Buddha, Mukta, Suryubam. Pure, eternal consciousness, liberated. That is our pure state. To come to that state, this analysis and understanding is necessary. So, and while you are in the Sushupti state, you are not conscious, isn't it? You are in a deep sleep state, you are not conscious of it. But while being conscious, if it happens, then Krishna is saying here, that is the success of spiritual life. Saying that, we'll go into the last verse. No. We have still Tulaninindasudhir Mauni Sandushto Yena Kainachit, the second verse there. Aniyeda Sinamadir Bhakti Manma Priya Nara. Krishna says Ninda Sudhi, all these things, he is not disturbed over that. Sandushto Yena Kainachit Aniyeda Sinamadir Bhakti Manma Priya Nara. Referring to that, it's already 5 o'clock. So here you will see that the Krishna says that Tulininda Studi, Tindaja Studija, Ninda Studi, Tulya Yastisa Nulininda Studi, Mauni, Maunavan, Samyatavak, Sharira Studi Matraena. Okay. We will stop there today because a little more time I'll need, another hour or so. So, with that, we should finish this chapter. We'll finish this chapter. So, tomorrow we have no class. That means next Saturday we'll continue. We'll finish this chapter. And then we will see after that what to do. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.